This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joe Biden is preparing his 2024 race, or his 2024 hobble, or his 2024 gradual crawling toward the finish line. And that means that he's attempting to rejigger his entire administration around new messaging. In 2020, his message was basically Donald Trump is terrible and evil. In 2024, his message is going to have to be something different. He's going to have to actually expand his message in an attempt to broaden his base. The Democratic coalition in 2020 was essentially upper crust white liberals who had graduated college, and poor minorities, and then a bunch of people who were really disillusioned with Donald Trump. But if Trump isn't on the ballot, and right now the polls show that Donald Trump is actually not the front runner for the Republican nomination, that he is fading pretty badly here. If that's the case, Joe Biden knows he's going to have to earn more votes than he did last time in order for him to be able to win re-election. And make no mistake, he is running. I mean, he has decided that he is all in despite all of the Democratic angst and heartburn over whether or not an 80-year-old man should be running for president of the United States. He will do it, even if he is 82 years old at the time that he would enter his second term. But there are some obstacles lying in the way for Joe Biden. One is corruption, and the other is his own incompetence. So when it comes to the corruption angle, people seem to forget that there are a couple of scandals that seem to be kind of lurking out there for Joe Biden. One, of course, is the classified documents scandal. The fact that he is now out there openly admitting that he's had classified documents since like 1974 in his place. And that in and of itself isn't a huge scandal considering how many politicians have been caught up in classified documents issues in just the last couple of years, ranging from Donald Trump to Mike Pence to Joe Biden. But it does raise questions as to his judgment. And it raises even more questions as to how his administration attempted to cover up news of the classified documents prior to the 2022 elections. There will be investigations about that. But there are other investigations that are ongoing. So yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, testified on Thursday before the House's new select subcommittee on political weaponization. And he said there have now been whistleblower disclosures indicating that the FBI has evidence that Joe Biden is aware of his family's business schemes. So you'll recall that the Biden family is a corrupt crime family. That Hunter Biden travels around the world picking up sacks of cash, which he then uses apparently on prostitutes and cocaine and meth. And he does so on the basis of his father's name. He did it for years at a time. And you'll recall that on his computer, there were messages about 10% for the big guy. And there were texts in which he talked about how he was paying all of Joe's bills and all the rest of this, which raised serious questions as to whether Joe Biden, when he was vice president of the United States, was benefiting from his son going around picking up bags of cash from foreign sources. So that was question number one. Joe Biden also has brothers, like his brother James, who apparently travels around the country dropping his brother's name in order to secure particular contracts, but they promise that there will be some sort of connection made with Joe Biden. Now, that is, in fact, misuse of government resources if Joe Biden is aware of that, or if he is getting a cut of that, or if he is benefiting in any way from all of that. And so these are the sorts of investigations that are going to take place now. Joe Biden escaped the scrutiny of the media in 2020 because he was running against Donald Trump. And that was really the only time anyone was going to investigate Joe Biden, because why would you investigate the vice president? No one cares about the vice president. Is anybody investigating Kamala Harris right now? She's boring, and the office itself isn't worth a warm bucket of spit, in the famous words of John Adams. But now Joe Biden is president. In 2020, media weren't going to investigate this at all. They still would prefer not to investigate it. They'd prefer to poo-poo all of this. But Republicans do actually control the House. The thing Democrats were afraid of in Republicans taking the House were all of these investigative subcommittees. So now Senator Chuck Grassley is actually testifying that there is a whistleblower who may come forward with evidence that Joe Biden knew that his family was participating in these schemes. Here was Senator Grassley yesterday.
Further allegations to my office involved FBI personnel at the Washington field office who improperly ordered information to be closed by the FBI related to Hunter Biden's potential criminal conduct in October 2020, just before the election, even though it was verified or it was verifiable. Other whistleblower disclosures to my office make clear that the FBI has within its possession very significant, impactful, and voluminous evidence with respect to potential criminal conduct by Hunter and James Biden.
And Grassley went on to say these disclosures also allege that Joe Biden was aware of Hunter Biden's business arrangements and may have been involved in some of them. So this raises questions not only about the Bidens, by the way, but also about the FBI. Why does it take FBI whistleblowers in order to let Chuck Grassley know about this? Why isn't the FBI actually being transparent about any of this? Now, you can say, well, they're doing so for investigative purposes, that you know, they really try to be opaque. They try to be a black box while an investigation is in progress in order not to bias the case. I'd have a lot more trust in that if they weren't selectively leaking about Donald Trump every 5 seconds during the Trump administration, which is what they did. They spent every single day finding ways to leak about Donald Trump. It's amazing how the quote-unquote deep state leaks to the benefit of Democrats repeatedly, but suddenly they clam up and they are absolutely opaque when it comes to Democrats. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So these sorts of revelations could be coming. And if they are coming, that is a real problem for Joe Biden. And there could be an attached scandal nonetheless with regard to the FBI, because it turns out that the FBI's corruption is very real. Whistleblower documents uncovered by the Heritage Foundation, the Daily Signal, show that the FBI, for example, the Richmond office repeatedly cited the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a far left smear factory, in an intelligence bulletin attempting to label certain groups extremists. It was the FBI, of course, that was laundering into public view the Steele dossier via James Comey. So the twin problems of Hunter and Joe Biden's corruption, James Biden's corruption, the possibility of Joe's involvement in all of that, plus FBI malfeasance is going to lead to tremendous mistrust not only in the FBI, but into the veracity of any investigation into Joe Biden, which means that these investigative subcommittees are going to become very important in short order. There's more on this in just 1 second. First, you know, one of the worst things in life is being hacked. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but a couple of years ago, there's somebody who actually got into our credit card and then proceeded to rack up like $50,000 worth of charges on NFL season tickets, which, by the way, is not a good bargain. But one of the things I learned from that is you got to protect your data. And this is one of the reasons I use ExpressVPN. Companies aren't just selling products anymore. They're actually selling you. I'm talking about how tech companies enrich themselves by taking your personal data. How do you think those big tech companies like Twitter or Facebook make all their money? The answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices to make it so much more difficult for them to exploit my data for their own profits. The best part is how easy it is to use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on. That's all it takes to keep people out of my business. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro right now. Get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro, ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, the twin scandals of Joe Biden's actual activity with regard to his own family, plus a law enforcement mechanism that is run top down by people like Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice, that could really come back to haunt Joe Biden. And he knows it, which is why he's speaking through lawyers right now. It's also why he's avoiding interviews like the plague. So you will recall that every Super Bowl Sunday, it's now become a presidential tradition. The president holds a pre-Super Bowl interview with the network that is airing the Super Bowl. Barack Obama used to do it all the time. You remember that Barack Obama was interviewed by Bill O'Reilly at one point. Right? This sort of thing had sort of become a tradition. But Joe Biden will never be interviewed by an unfriendly source. He will only be interviewed by friendlies. This is why when you hear folks in the media yell about Donald Trump, he won't sit down with CNN. Or Ron DeSantis, why won't he talk to the legacy media? Well, you guys started it. According to Joe Biden and his office, he has not yet committed to a pre-Super Bowl interview with Fox News, a move that suggests the Democrat may buck the tradition of granting the network broadcasting the big game an interview. According to CNN Business, we don't have a formal no, but we're operating like it's not happening. The person familiar with the matter explained to CNN on Thursday evening. Biden has sat down with two interviews this week, but one was with PBS NewsHour, Judy Woodruff, who's an ally, and the other was with Telemundo, which is another allied network. Biden has not granted Fox News a single interview during his presidency, despite the network repeatedly asking. According to CNN, quote, that's likely due to how the right-wing channel portrays him and his administration, with extremists like Tucker Carlson regularly launching vicious attacks on him. I don't remember you guys having exactly the same kind of excuse-making when it was Donald Trump who was rejecting your interviews. And I was like, why won't he listen to us? Why won't he talk to us? We're the objective journalismers. Here is the deal. If you're the president of the United States, you probably should do interviews with all sorts of sources, and you should be unafraid of walking into the fire. But Joe Biden is afraid, and he should be afraid, because, frankly, he's not doing a very good job. And when he's asked even remotely difficult questions, he bridles. So yesterday, for example, Joe Biden was asked by Telemundo about bringing down the Chinese spy balloon. Why did he wait so long to bring down the Chinese spy balloon? And he immediately launched into an answer about how he was afraid that it would hit a house. Dude, Montana is big, and there are two people in the whole state. The notion that you were deeply afraid that if you shot down the Chinese spy balloon, that was really what was at play here, is that they could only bring it down and not kill somebody if they were doing it over the ocean. It's just nonsense. Here was Joe Biden's answer.
Do you regret not having insisted on bringing it down sooner?
No, I look at the expert, the intelligence community, the defense community. They forgot more about it than you or I know. I said I wanted to shot down as soon as possible, and they were worried about the damage that could be done even in a big state like Montana. This thing was gigantic. What happened if it came down and hit a school?
Yeah, not particularly convincing. Okay, so, again, the twin threats to Joe Biden's 2024 campaign are, one, corruption, and that is very much an alive question, and two, is his own incompetence. And so he has to shift. And his shift is going to be toward spending more money. Oodles and oodles and oodles of money. He's going to run the John Edwards campaign in 2004. He's going to run the Barack Obama campaign, not from 2012, but from 2008. He's going to go back to the well, and he's going to start running the old Democrat playbook. Now, it's actually relatively clever. Because one thing that Joe Biden has noticed is that intersectionality is not playing well with the flyover states, the so-called flyover states. Like, the Rust Belt is not interested in Joe Biden's brand of equity and transing the kids. People don't like that stuff very much. So instead, he's going to angle himself toward, what if I just give you boatloads of money? What if I just yell about entitlements? And this is pretty safe territory for Democrats. It really is. Now, I think they're going to have a tough time squaring the circle. Because I think that the quasi-socialist, redistributionist Democrat Bernie Sanders program does not live all that comfortably with the wokists. The wokists believe that they have grabbed control of the steering wheel in this kind of weird clown car that is the Democratic Party. And I'm not sure they're going to give it up all that easily. Remember that it seemed like in 2016, Bernie Sanders was on the rise and Bernie was going to take it from Hillary because he was running from the socialistic left. And what actually killed him is the wokists coming in from his left and saying, well, you don't care enough about race. You don't care enough about the social issues. You don't care enough about the key issues about human happiness. And it really clocked Bernie upside the head. And ever since, Bernie has been kind of wandering in the wilderness. Joe Biden had to pay all sorts of homage to the radical left during the 2020 campaign. He had to do it over and over and over again. He had to go soft on the defund the police movement, for example, right? He was fairly quiet about that. Every so often he would sort of tut-tut them, but at the same time, he was declaring the police systemically racist. He had to go very soft on the social policy sort of stuff, right? He was talking in radical terms about abortion and transgenderism and trans kids and all the rest of this sort of stuff. But you'll notice in the State of the Union address this week that he did something else. He front-loaded all the econ talk, and he backloaded all the other stuff. So he backloaded foreign policy, where he's weak. He backloaded all of the dramatically radical social issues that the base really loves. Because he knows he's now secured the base, right? I mean, no one's going to run against him in a primary, realistically speaking, unless he has some sort of tremendous health failure. So instead, what he's going to run on is a kind of two-pronged campaign. One is, I will spend more money than you have ever seen. And two is, Republicans will stop me from spending more money than you have ever seen. And these are the twin prongs. Now, you may say to yourself, wait a second, wasn't spending all of this money how we got 6.5% inflation last month and elevated prices on everything over the course of the last 2 years, like record inflation? Isn't that how we got here? Is because you spent too much money? The answer, of course, is yes. But Joe Biden is relying on, I think, a slim chance that there's a quote-unquote soft landing, and he's relying on his friends in the media to recapitulate what exactly is happening in the economy. So instead of there being talk about stagnation, which is what we are about to hit, there will be talk about a soft landing. They've now lowered the bar for economic growth so much that as long as there's not an outright negative growth recession, the media will declare that everything is hunky-dory and Joe Biden did a fine and fabulous job. And so you're starting to see the New York Times prep the ground. You have to understand that pretty much all media coverage right now is push polls. So push polls are a kind of poll that is done in political campaigns where the goal isn't to actually measure what people think about a given issue. The actual goal is to push people on that issue. So somebody will call you up on the phone and they'll ask you a question like, don't you think Donald Trump is a racist? Now, they're not actually attempting to garner whether you think Donald Trump is a racist or not. The idea is to push you into thinking about Donald Trump and racism. It is a push poll. It's done very often right before election campaigns. The same thing is being done by the media now. Their coverage is no longer coverage. It is push coverage. It's an attempt to push you into believing a thing by pretending that they're objective journalisming. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Alrighty, coming up, the media know that Joe Biden needs to run on his economic record. The problem is the economy is probably going to stagnate. The good news is the media are there to be his Praetorian guard, as always. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Columbia Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, taking place Saturdays at 2 p.m. inside the Mill Building at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp at Turtle Bay. Now through February 11th, come experience this 30-minute indoor animal show in person to learn how animals of all kinds survive in the wild. Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Free for members included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are there to help Joe Biden in his 2024 race by presenting you with the idea that the economy is actually going great guns and will continue to do so. Speaking of push coverage, the New York Times has an article today titled, What Recession? Some economists see chances of a growth rebound. Now, you can always find economists to say nearly anything. I mean, there were stories in the New York Times for years before the inflation surge from the quote-unquote experts suggesting that inflation would never come. And people like Gabriel Zayas, who is a econ advisor to Elizabeth Warren, was suggesting that modern monetary theory was going to put us in the driver's seat in terms of the global economy. And turns out that you can find experts to say pretty much anything. When the media say some experts, what they really mean is we think. And then they go and they find a couple of obscure professors somewhere to suggest that things are exactly as they think they are going to be. Right? It's push coverage. So here's what the New York Times says. Many economists and investors had a clear narrative coming into 2023. The Federal Reserve had spent months pushing borrowing costs rapidly higher in a bid to tame inflation. Those moves were expected to slow growth and the labor market so much that the economy would be at risk of plunging into a downturn. But the recession calls are now getting a rethink. Are they, though? Employers added more than 500,000 jobs in January. The housing market showed signs of stabilizing or even picking back up. Many Wall Street economists have marked down the odds of a downturn this year. After months of asking whether the Fed could pull off a soft landing in which the economy slows but does not plummet into a bruising recession, analysts are raising the possibility it will not land at all, that growth will simply hold up. Now, buried in paragraph four here is some of the data. Quote, not every data point looks sunny. Manufacturing remains glum. Consumer spending has been cracking. Some analysts still think a mild recession this year remains likely. But there have been enough surprises pointing to continued momentum that Fed officials themselves seem to see a better chance the nation will avoid a painful downturn, that resilience could even be a problem. Economists are beginning to ask whether growth and the job market will run too warm for inflation to slow, as more central bankers are hoping, eventually forcing the Fed to respond more aggressively. So in other words, what they're actually saying is it's not going to be a soft landing. The inflation is just going to remain high. I keep coming back to this fact, but it is true. When Joe Biden became president and he put out his economic forecast for the next decade or so, his suggestion was that we would have hot growth in for a couple of years, and then we would have growth at below 2% year on year, pretty much every year from now into infinity. That is not good, guys. That is stagnation. Meanwhile, again, the interest rates are likely to jack up. John C. Williams, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, indicated on Wednesday quarter point moves were likely to remain the norm. He suggested rates might even have to adjust by more if demand and price increases stay elevated. He said demand in our economy is much stronger right now than you might expect in a regular pre-pandemic situation. How high rates must climb in order to be sufficiently restrictive has got to be influenced by that. But one of the things that is going to force the interest rates up is, of course, more spending. So Joe Biden has to lie to you. He has to suggest that everything is hunky-dory. Don't look at the inflation rate. Instead, look around and be happy and think that you want more of this. So that is prong number one, right? Prong number one is we are going to give you more of what you've already had, and we are going to, and you're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. Paul Krugman is doing this routine again, a man who once declared that the internet would have no impact on the American economy, Paul Krugman. He's been right about like some trade policy, which is the reason why he won a Nobel in economics. And he's been wrong about literally everything else the rest of his entire career. But Paul Krugman has an article today suggesting that Democrats are in fact not radical on nearly anything. He suggests that Joe Biden's economic program is wildly popular and that Republicans are the ones who are truly radical. And this gets him to his actual agenda. The actual agenda of the Democrats is not even the spending. They're not going to get as much spending as they wanted before because Republicans now control the House of Representatives. This brings us to prong two of Joe Biden's incipient campaign, and that is Republicans are going to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, unfortunately, that is a lie. Republicans are not going to cut Social Security, and they are not going to cut Medicare, and they are certainly not going to do so while Joe Biden is president. The reason I say unfortunately is because a train is coming down the tracks, and it is the failure of Social Security and Medicare. These are giant Ponzi schemes, and eventually the bill is going to come due. In fact, we know that in the next decade, there's going to be serious insolvency problems with Social Security as well as Medicaid, unless you radically increase taxes, say a value-added tax, which nobody wants, or you radically scale up income taxes for the middle class and the lower classes. Yes, because it turns out they can't tax those rich people enough to pay for all of this. Right? That train is coming down the tracks, and everybody knows it. We are demographically upside down in this country. We have too many old people and not enough young people to pay the bills for those old people. Social Security is kicking in at 65. The average life expectancy in the United States right now is about 80. Which means that you have paid enough money for about 2 or 3 years of Social Security income, but you have not paid enough money for 15 years of Social Security income. But Democrats are screaming and shouting that we can't raise the retirement age. So we are going to politic ourselves directly into a fiscal crisis, which is the same thing that Europe has done over and over and over again. But Joe Biden is going to politic off of that because kicking the can down the road is a fantastic way of campaigning. Already coming up. Joe Biden's economy probably ain't going to go that great over the next couple of years, so instead, he's just going to lie that Republicans want to cut all of your entitlements. That's an old saw, but he's going to do it anyway. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The groundhog saw his shadow, which means more winter weather woes for your vehicle. The good news is Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive can repair those minor scratches and scrapes. And their experienced technicians can also perform major auto body repairs. Plus, Crossroads Auto Body Repair offers full body paint jobs. Crossroads Auto Body Repair. New name, same great service and location. 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Hell, not when it comes to minor or major auto body repair. That's when you need to call the professionals at Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive, and their number is 530-226-0992. Call today and make an appointment for a free estimate. Gift certificates are also available at Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992 and make an appointment today for a free estimate. That's 530-226-0992.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's 2024 campaign is reliant on two basic ideas, both of them false. One, the economy is going great thanks to Joe Biden. And two, Republicans wish to dramatically and disastrously cut Social Security and Medicare. So here is Joe Biden demagoguing the issues of Social Security and Medicare in rather nonsensical fashion, because everything the man says is now nonsensical since he is on the verge of senility.
We saw on Tuesday night Republicans don't like me being called out on this. They were not very happy with me pointing this out. But their words speak, look, I know that a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. If that's your dream, I'm your nightmare.
Well, I mean, he is definitely a nightmare. But the deep irresponsibility of so many people in politics, which is, what if we just pretend that a problem that obviously is looming is not looming? And then we yell at people who notice that the problem is looming. It really is amazing. So what you hear from Joe Biden is that Social Security and Medicare, there must never be any changes to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, any of these quote unquote entitlement programs. Never any changes to that. That disaster, by the way, is looming within the decade. But the greatest threat facing you and your family is not the insolvency of some of the nation's most important entitlement programs. The greatest threat facing you is that in 100 years, it's going to be slightly warmer outside. That is the greatest threat facing you. In fact, we have to restructure the entire American economy today in order to account for the possible threat of global warming 100 years from now. But Social Security and Medicare, these things, they will never go insolvent. And in fact, if you even talk about them, this means that you're a crazy person. Now, Zachary Wolf, writing for CNN, points out that Medicare and Social Security insolvency is directly around the corner. President Biden, he says, is accusing Republicans of wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. He says he will protect these key pillars of the social safety net. But the reality is that Medicare hospital insurance is already running out of money. In their annual report released last June, Medicare's trustees reported the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund will bring in $412 billion in 2023, and it will spend $416 billion. So it's going to spend $3 billion more than it generates in revenue. The Hospital Insurance Trust Fund will be completely gone by 2028. Which means the government has to do something. And meanwhile, Social Security is running out of money as well. The financial outlook of Social Security is a bit different than it is for Medicare, says CNN. And this is CNN. The cost of Social Security, funded through payroll taxes, began to be higher than its income in 2021. It will be higher in all future years. So we are already running in the red on Social Security, like today. Two Social Security trust funds, both of which own U.S. debt in the form of treasuries, should cover costs for the next decade. The trust fund that pays checks to seniors will be depleted in 2034. Starting in 2035, Social Security would only be able to pay 77% of benefits without government action. And by the way, the CBO has that estimate at 2033, which means that there are only a few things that can be done. You have to either reduce benefits, or you have to increase taxes, or you have to raise the retirement age. These are the only things that can be done. But Joe Biden is going to demagogue this issue, and he's going to pretend that it's not a crisis in any way. And he's probably going to get away with it, because the truth is that in the end, the American taxpayer does not want to face the consequences of our own fiscal irresponsibility. Democrats know this, which is why they keep running on it. And again, this is why you have push journalism, why you have push coverage from the Washington Post. Quote, GOP hopefuls pass positions on Social Security loom over 2024 primary. So now we're going to just have a debate over Social Security and Medicare, even though no one is actually talking about doing anything serious about it and hasn't been talking about it, unfortunately, since about 2006. It's about 2004 when George W. Bush was reelected that he talked about privatizing certain portions of Social Security, guaranteeing that everybody who already was in Social Security would get their money out. But if you were nearing retirement age, instead of you paying your payroll tax into the government, you could take that and put it in the stock market, for example. And you got yelled off the stage, and then Democrats won in 2006. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. Paul Ryan, when he was Speaker of the House, tried to do something, complete fail. It didn't go anywhere with a Republican president. So realistically speaking, we are just going to, it's going to be the train in Back to the Future 3 over Eastwood Ravine. I mean, this thing is going off the rails and ain't nobody going to stop it. But the media are going to push the idea that Republicans cannot be elected because they might try to stop that train from going off the rails. Sadly, they are wrong. No one's going to try to stop this train from going off the rails. Donald Trump has been demagoguing this thing with Ron DeSantis, suggesting that he's not going to cut Social Security, but you know who will? Is it Ron DeSanctimonious? Our politicians are irresponsible because they lie to us to tell us the things that we want to hear. But this is part of Joe Biden's actual routine, circa 2024. Henry Olson, who is more of a big government Republican writing for the Washington Post, he says that this is actually going to work from Joe Biden. He says President Biden is trying to steal Republican thunder when it comes to appealing to working class Americans. If the GOP wants to win in future elections, it can't let this happen. It must present its own viable blend of populism to counter Joe Biden's. Biden's brand of America First was evident throughout his speech. He highlighted his administration's efforts to boost manufacturing in the United States and other issues important to U.S. workers, such as protecting government entitlement programs. Conservatives should be responding with a united front. Instead, they are engaging in an increasingly acrimonious debate on economic policy. The economic arguments, says Henry Olson, in this debate are varied and complex. The political arguments are simpler and perhaps ultimately more important. It comes down to this. Does the Republican Party need to embrace some degree of economic nationalism and populism to secure its newfound base in working class voters of all races and nationalities? Now, yeah, I think, again, this is Henry Olson, who is a big government Republican, sort of doubling down on his agenda. He thinks that the reason that Republicans won in 2016 is because Donald Trump was a big government conservative, meaning that he was in favor of some socially conservative policies, although not all that many. He was anti-woke, but he was into tariffs and he was into big government spending and all the rest of it. I'm not sure that that is actually the path to electoral victory, but he is not wrong that Joe Biden running against cutting entitlement programs will likely be a success. And again, it's deeply dishonest. The same people who declare that Social Security and Medicare are not in crisis are now suggesting that climate change and global issues ought to be handled by the World Bank because it's such a crisis. This is why you have Janet Yellen, the current U.S. Treasury Secretary, who I thought was actually the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Like, she's supposed to be concerned with the fact that she's done a terrible job and inflation is at 6.5%. And remember, she was the Federal Reserve Chair until 5 minutes ago. So just everybody keeps failing upward. Here she was trying to push the World Bank to be bolder on climate change. These are the priorities.
The bank must be bolder and more imaginative in its operational approach. For example, we know that subnational entities can sometimes have greater expertise and willingness to implement innovative projects. So what if we made it easier for cities to gain access to funding for climate-smart urban infrastructure?
And this is what they're going to run on the global scale. It's more on this in just 1 second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly you have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time while as you are making your way off this earthly terrain. You think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Now, again, is this going to be successful from Joe Biden, this sort of populist push? I have my doubts. I think that the wokes are going to push him into line eventually. I think that the social issues are still a killer for the Democrats. The social issues that they want you not to talk about are still a killer for the Democrats. But you can see that what Biden is doing is actually relatively intelligent for what is left in his feeble brain, or at least the people around him know that they need to make that sort of move. They also know that they need to, at all costs, of course, avoid Kamala Harris being the candidate. They're going to have to prop this old man up until he is no longer literally capable of doing this, because Kamala Harris continues to be Kamala Harris. Yesterday, another deep thought with Kamala Harris.
And now, deep thoughts with Kamala Harris.
Yeah, here she was yesterday. She loves her electric school buses. I don't know when the remit of the vice presidency became electric school buses, but here we go.
Cities and towns with electric fleets spend less on gas and maintenance. And as some of the leaders here can attest, that means more money in the local budget to add more routes, more stops, and more drivers. And that means more reliable service. So, you know, for anyone who's had to wait too long in the cold because the bus is late, you know how much that matters. All of this to say, electric buses are key to the future of public transportation in America.
Oh, man. You excited about the electric buses? They need Joe Biden in that office as long as humanly possible. Now, one of the things that I've said here is that I think that as much as Joe Biden would like to steer back toward the economic issues, he'd like to go back toward sort of Clintonian third wayism with much, much bigger government. He'd like to go back to FDR kind of policies. This is where he feels his sweet spot is. I'm not sure that his own party is going to allow him to do that. And the reason is because they actually have a religious worldview. And that religious worldview is no longer chiefly economic. They're no longer into the Elizabeth Warren brand of Democratic Party politics. They are more into the religious component of wokeness. I don't think that's going away anytime soon. I think everybody on the right who's sort of saying, well, wokeness is starting to fit, I think that you are happy talking yourselves. I do not think that is the case whatsoever. That's an actual religious worldview now. Now, to pretend that left-wing progressivism on social issues is merely a sort of outgrowth of normal secularism is not true. It forces you to believe things that are actively untrue, and it is, in fact, a form of religion. It's one of the reasons why, for example, you've seen the infiltration of secular leftist worldviews on social issues infused into progressive churches. Now, people say these aren't churches anymore. That's wrong. They are churches. They are progressive churches. Churches to progressivism or churches to transgressivism, which is why you're seeing more and more videos of churches themselves turning themselves into altars on behalf of left-wing social values. So, for example, there's a video going around yesterday of a pastor suggesting the drag queen story hour affirms what they are as a church. This is on CNN. I don't see this as particularly shocking, actually.
The bingo event itself wasn't initially part of the lesson, but I imagine it's become part of a really important lesson, not only for your congregation, but for the community as well, Reverend.
Yeah, and I do want to say that the positive response and the generosity of response that we enjoyed with this event was extraordinary. It's unlike anything that I've ever experienced. I do think that the overall experience was extremely positive. It was an affirmation of who we are as a church, how we think about the commandment to love our neighbor.
Reverend Todd Better over at a church in Connecticut being featured on CNN because they're all part of the same religious community. And that religious community isn't going to go away. The religion of woke leftism, of radical gender theory leftism, it's not going to go away. They're going to demand their pound of flesh when it comes to national politics. Joe Biden ain't going to be able to escape that. It's going to come up over and over again in the campaign. And he's going to try to redirect over to Social Security and Medicare. It ain't going to work. This is a broad international movement, by the way. This religious movement, the secular religious movement, because it is, in fact, a pagan religion of its own, has now infused into major church institutions. The left is great at this. They take over institutions and they wield those institutions as sort of meat puppets on behalf of their viewpoint. This is why, for example, the Church of England just voted in favor of blessings for same-sex unions. According to the UK Guardian, Church of England priests will be permitted to bless the civil marriages of same-sex couples in a profound shift in the church's stance on homosexuality after a historic vote by its governing body. The first blessings for gay couples should happen this summer. Individual churches will be encouraged to state clearly whether they will offer blessings to avoid confusion and disappointment. After an impassioned debate lasting more than 8 hours, the Church of England's National Assembly, the Church Synod, voted by 250 votes to 181 to back a proposal by bishops intended to end years of painful divisions and disagreements over sexuality. But emotionally charged speeches from those advocating full equality for LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign, happy face emoji Christians, and those arguing that traditional biblical teaching on marriage and sex must be upheld, signaled the debate is set to continue. The Synod also agreed the church will apologize for the harm it has caused to LGBTQ people and welcomed a forthcoming review of a ban on clergy entering into same-sex civil marriages themselves and a celibacy rule for clergy in same-sex relationships. Conservatives narrowly succeeded in amending the motion to state that it was church's doctrine of marriage between a man and a woman was unchanged, but they are still allowing blessings. And the Archbishop said, quote, for the first time, the Church of England will publicly, unreservedly, and joyfully welcome same-sex couples in church. Yeah, this obviously has nothing to do with historic or traditional Christianity or biblical belief. I mean, it's a direct rejection of that. Historical Judeo-Christian belief, biblical belief, suggests that homosexual acts are a sin. But secular worldview has now infused all of these institutions. And the idea is that if you say that certain activity is a sin, and certain people have a predilection for this kind of activity, this means that you are intolerant and bigoted toward those people. Which, of course, runs directly contra the basic premise of religion, which is that you are in charge of your own activity no matter the temptation. And that life is a struggle with temptation, and we all fall short, and we all fail. But that's what religion is. It's a demand to do things that you don't necessarily want to do on behalf of a higher morality. The Church of England has now been taken over by the cult of authenticity, the cult of secular left-wing authenticity and transgressivism. And you're going to see this increasingly. Because to pretend that what's happening on the left here with regard to social policy is not, in fact, a religion is to ignore what it is. It is a cult that requires, in some cases, human sacrifice. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let me take a moment to shoot straight with you. You can be a hero. The donations you're currently giving to the good work of Preborn, it saves lives. Right now, these babies are taking their first breath. Your impact has reached eternity, and we've only just begun. Why? Because babies need our help. See, the overturning of Roe only made the left more ravenous to kill the unborn, unfortunately. So now we need to be even more ravenous to save them. Thanks to Preborn Pregnancy Network, we can do just that. For just $28, you can introduce at-risk babies to their mothers. The cost of a dinner to save a life. Once she sees that precious life and hears that heartbeat on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life because of you. She can. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. Every day, their clinics save 150 babies. You can be a hero by giving a baby life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. The quality of the ultrasounds these days is absolutely incredible. My wife is pregnant with our fourth child. We saw an ultrasound the other day. It just blows you away. And that's true for so many moms who are thinking about whether or not to keep their baby. Once they see the ultrasound, their decision is almost made for them. Dial #250 and say keyword baby to get started helping out our friends over at preborn.com. Or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, coming up, the woke religious cult actually does require human sacrifice. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlotte's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlotte's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlotte's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlotte's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlotte's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlotte's Tap House rule number 1, come for the homemade pizza, stay stay for the beer wall. Charlize Tap House rule number 2, never stay empty-handed. Charlize Tap House and Mobile Catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlize Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlize Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the cult of woke religiosity, which is really what it's a cult, they demand human sacrifice. They really do. And that has come in the form of literally taking children and then sacrificing them to the trans god. And it is terrifying stuff. I mean, I talked yesterday about this amazing piece from a person named Jamie Reed over at Barry Weiss's The Free Press, thefp.com. You should go check it out, in which she talks about her experiences at the Washington University School of Medicine, Division of Infectious Diseases, working with teens and young adults who are HIV positive, and then joining the Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital, where they basically mainlined kids directly into quote-unquote gender-affirming healthcare with like one appointment. Suddenly kids were taking life-altering drugs, drugs that would sterilize them, drugs that would change their brain chemistry, and all the rest. Well, now, the consequences of this are becoming clear because of this whistleblower. The fact that it takes years for whistleblowers to come forward about the most obvious abuses I have ever seen is truly incredible. Why, first of all, why would it even take a whistleblower to know right off the bat that pretending that boys who think they are girls ought to be given heavy doses of estrogen and then prepped to have their penises and testicles removed from them and given breast implantation surgeries, that this was going to be the way to cure gender dysphoria or help those kids? And that teaching in widespread fashion across every school in the United States, the idea that boys can become girls and girls can become boys, was going to be the solution here. That is such cultic nonsense rooted in a Gnostic belief that there's a complete soul-body duality, that you're a boy living in a girl's body, as though there is the you and then there is the body, and these are two completely separate things, right, in sort of a Cartesian fashion. Now, all of this is cultic garbage, but it became science, and then it was actually enacted on the bodies of children, on the bodies of minors, and now it is celebrated. And if you refuse to go along with this, then you are destroyed career-wise, people yell at you. Every college student must be forced to pay fealty to this cult, which is why when you enter a college orientation, the first thing they do is they now ask you your pronouns. You have to demonstrate you have skin in the game for this cult. The consequences over the next few years are going to become very, very clear. We've already seen skyrocketing rates of mental illness. We have extraordinarily socially contagious rates of trans and queer identification. That has nothing to do with biology. That has everything to do with social contagion, and everyone knows it. But if you say that publicly, people get very, very angry at you, and the cult demands that you then be punished for your great sins. This is why I don't think Joe Biden's going to be able to escape all this stuff. And Joe Biden is going to want to talk about the John Edwards to America stuff in 2024. I don't think he's going to be able to. I think he's going to be on a debate stage, and somebody's going to ask him, do you believe that boys can become girls? And he's going to have to answer yes. Somebody's going to ask him, how many genders are there? And he's going to have to answer infinite, because otherwise his own base will go after him. And then he'll say that it's unsympathetic or cruel to children to not allow them to mutilate their bodies, or for society not to go along with their delusions and instead to either watchfully wait or to try to inform them more properly, which is what any normal society would do, that in fact, your mental condition, the solution to that is not to chop body parts off or mutilate your body. But Joe Biden will be forced to answer those sorts of questions. Right now, the bill is already coming due. According to the UK Daily Mail, a St. Louis transgender treatment clinic is now under investigation for allegedly harming up to 600 children after a whistleblower claimed parents were bullied into allowing kids to take irreversible hormone drugs and undergo gender transitioning surgeries. Jamie Reed, that's the person we discussed yesterday, that former employee at the Washington University Transgender Center at the St. Louis Children's Hospital, told the Free Press the clinic administered a litany of irreparable treatments to minors, oftentimes without parental consent. Reed claims doctors would ask questions like, do you want a dead daughter or an alive son, in order to bully children's parents into going ahead with gender transitions, which again, is a cultic behavior. And if you want to indoctrinate people in the cult, you say, would you like your kid to be happy in the cult, or would you like your kid to be suicidal. Now, in reality, suicide rates among teenagers are skyrocketing. They have been for a while, and they're going to get worse. So you would assume that with, quote-unquote, more trans acceptance, that would go down. That is not actually what is happening. Instead, the reverse is happening, again, because we are actively indoctrinating our children into a cult of gender dysmorphia and gender dysphoria. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. For the second time in a week, the military has shot down a high-altitude object in U.S. airspace. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the unknown object was brought down off the coast of Alaska.
Out of an abundance of caution and at the recommendation of the Pentagon, President Biden ordered the military to down the object, and they did.
Kirby says the object was flying at an altitude of 40,000 feet and posed a reasonable threat to the safety of civilian flight. The development comes after the U.S. shot down a suspected Chinese spy balloon last weekend. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Emergency crews have made a series of dramatic rescues in Turkey, pulling several people from the rubble 4 days after a catastrophic earthquake killed more than 23,000.
In Diyarbakır, a large crew of rescuers applaud after a woman, Sahabat Vali, and her son, Serhat, are rescued 4 days after the earthquake and moved carefully to a waiting ambulance. However, with morgues and cemeteries overwhelmed in many areas of the Turkey quake zone, bodies lie wrapped in blankets, rugs and tarps in the streets of some cities. Temperatures remain below freezing across the large region. The government's distributing millions of hot meals as well as tents and blankets, but still struggling to reach many of the people in need. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman is released from a Washington, D.C. hospital following a health scare this week. Fetterman had a stroke last year, still suffers from lingering effects. The State Department is urging U.S. citizens to avoid travel to parts of Mexico over fears of kidnappings and other crime across multiple states as spring break arrives. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
There's legal action in that train derailment in Ohio.
A federal lawsuit is trying to force Norfolk Southern to set up health monitoring for residents living near the site of a fiery train derailment along the Ohio-Pennsylvania line. The lawsuit filed Thursday by two Pennsylvania residents calls for the rail operator to pay for medical screenings and related care for anyone living within a 30-mile radius of the derailment. The lawsuit says those tests would determine who is affected by toxic substances released after the derailment. About 50 cars, including 10 carrying hazardous materials, derailed a week ago in the Ohio village of East Palestine. Keith Peters reporting.
Big-name advertisers from T-Mobile to Google are paying as much as $7 million for a 30-second spot during the Super Bowl on Sunday. To get the most out of the millions, most advertisers release their ads in the days ahead of the big game to maximize publicity for those commercials. More on these stories at townhall.com. A driver is arrested after crashing through a fence at the Texas State Capitol of Austin. Correspondent Jennifer King reports.
An SUV drove through a fence Thursday night at the Texas State Capitol in Austin. In a statement, Sergeant Victor Taylor with the Texas Department of Public Safety says the vehicle was driven up the south steps of the building before stopping. Taylor says the investigation is ongoing. The sole occupant is in custody, and there are no additional known threats at this time. At the scene, the low wrought iron fence that was knocked down had been tied back into place in a makeshift repair. The fence runs on top of a row of stone that is nearly flush with the adjacent lawn and sidewalk. I'm Jennifer King.
Forecasters say heavy snow could bury parts of the southeast this weekend. A foot of snow is expected to fall on the southern Appalachians. Alec Baldwin asking a judge in New Mexico to dismiss a five-year firearm sentencing enhancement and the charges against him. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, a whistleblower from inside the child gender transition industry has finally come forward, and what she reveals is horrifying. I'll walk you through the whole story today. Plus, reports suggest that Project Veritas is trying to push James O'Keefe out, even though James O'Keefe is Project Veritas. In our daily cancellation, Vice holds a panel discussion on race. One guy with common sense somehow made it onto the panel, proceeds to offend and terrify the rest of them. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. In the fight against gender ideology and the abuse and mutilation of children, we have been operating at a disadvantage. Well, many disadvantages. You know, the institutions are against us, the elites and corporate interests, and nearly everyone with power is against us. Most of the platforms that we use to spread our message are hostile to the message and to us. And the activists on the other side are empowered to act with impunity, defaming us, threatening us, without any consequence. They're also evil to their core and beholden to lies, which means that they not only are allowed to do and say whatever they want, but also are willing to do or say anything. All of these are disadvantages for Team Sanity. But in spite of these obstacles, our team, Team Sanity, has made enormous headway recently. Every battle is stacked against us, and yet we have had some tremendous victories, both against the ideology and against the mutilation industry specifically. Yet, all of these hurdles create another and especially significant one, is that we haven't been able to get access to anyone on the inside of that industry, the mutilation industry. We've heard from former patients who've been mutilated and butchered and are now speaking out, they're drugged and abused and are talking about it. We've heard from doctors who've been around this industry who have seen how it operates and are appropriately horrified by it. Many people in the orbit of this industry or who have fallen victim to it have taken a stand against it. But up until this point, the threats, veiled and otherwise, and the fear of social alienation has been enough to prevent any actual whistleblowers from inside the child mutilation industry from coming forward, at least publicly. You know, I personally have heard from medical professionals on the inside who are sickened by what they've seen, by what they themselves have done, and by what they themselves continue to do. But none of them have been willing to speak publicly and put their name on it. The potential, the certainty really, of their lives as they know them being torn apart is simply too much for them to bear. They don't have the courage to do the right thing and bear the cost of that decision. And so the child mutilation industry, the gender industry as a whole, has been able to remain, at least from a public facing perspective, insular and closed off. It has not had any whistleblowers. Until now. Yesterday, a website called the Free Press published an article by a woman named Jamie Reed. And what you should know about Reed is that she spent 4 years as a case manager at the Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital. She also identifies herself as, quote, queer, and says that she is married to a, quote, trans man. Point being, this is certainly not a conservative with any sort of political axe to grind. And she's been on the inside of this gender ideology world in just about every way possible, professionally and personally. And now she's had enough. She explains in the article, quote, I left the clinic in November of last year because I could no longer participate in what was happening there. By the time I departed, I was certain that the way the American medical system is treating these patients is the opposite of the promise we make to do no harm. Instead, we are permanently harming the vulnerable patients in our care. Today, I am speaking out. I am doing so knowing how toxic the public conversation is around this highly contentious issue and the ways that my testimony might be misused. I am doing so knowing that I am putting myself at serious personal and professional risk. Almost everyone in my life has advised me to keep my head down, but I cannot in good conscience do so. Because what is happening to scores of children is far more important than my comfort. And what is happening to them is morally and medically appalling. Now from here, Reed documents in great detail what exactly went on in this clinic. What she reveals can leave no doubt that not only are these clinics harming children irrevocably and brutally, but that they know they are harming children and they do it anyway. I'm going to read some of the passages to you. I'll be doing a lot more reading than I would normally do in an opening monologue, but it's more important that you hear from Jamie Reed than from me today. So we'll go through this and kind of get as much of the whole story as we can. So she continues. Soon after my arrival at the Transgender Center, I was struck by the lack of formal protocols for treatment. The center's physician co-directors were essentially the sole authority. At first, the patient population was tipped toward what used to be the traditional instance of a child with gender dysphoria, a boy, often quite young, who wanted to be a girl. Until 2015 or so, a very small number of these boys comprised the population of pediatric gender dysphoria cases. Then, across the Western world, there began to be a dramatic increase in a new population. Teenage girls, many with no previous history of gender distress, suddenly declared they were transgender and demanded immediate treatment with testosterone. I certainly saw this at the center. One of my jobs was to do intake for new patients and their families. When I started, there were probably 10 such calls a month. When I left, there were 50, and about 70% of the new patients were girls. Sometimes clusters of girls arrived from the same high school. Now, next she explains how most of their female patients had comorbidities. Most of them were psychological comorbidities. So they've been diagnosed with anxiety or depression or ADHD. Many of them were diagnosed with autism. And there have also been studies that are showing that it's very, very common, this correlation between kids who are diagnosed autistic. And then next thing you know, they're saying they have gender dysphoria. But lots of them apparently declared that they had other disorders that were entirely in their heads. So she said that these girls would frequently claim to have things like Tourette's syndrome or multiple personality disorder. But it was all imaginary. They didn't have that. Reed says that the doctors at the clinic recognized that many of these disorders the girls had invented, and they were actually symptoms of social contagion. They'd been convinced by their friends and by the internet that they had Tourette's, or they had multiple personalities. But they didn't. And yet these same doctors, she says, were not willing to admit or even consider that gender dysphoria is also one of these social contagions, just like all the other social contagion disorders that these girls had fallen prey to. Reed continues, to begin transitioning, the girls needed a letter of support from a therapist, usually one we recommended, who they had to see only once or twice for the green light. To make it more efficient for the therapist, we offered them a template for how to write a letter of support for transition. The next stop was a single visit to the endocrinologist for a testosterone prescription, and that's all it took. When a female takes testosterone, the profound and permanent effects of the hormone can be seen in a matter of months. Voices drop, beards sprout, body fat is redistributed, sexual interest explodes, aggression increases, and mood can be unpredictable. Our patients were told about some side effects, including sterility, but after working at the center, I came to believe that teenagers are simply not capable of fully grasping what it means to make the decision to become infertile while still minors. Well, of course they can't grasp that. As I've said many times, you know, it's obviously minors, obviously kids can't grasp the consequence of, you know, choosing to be infertile or choosing to be sterile. They're giving up the possibility of having kids at a time when they couldn't know what that means. And there are many people even in their early 20s. I was one of these people. Even in my early 20s, I couldn't really imagine what it would be like to have kids. You know, it wasn't something that I thought about. A few years later, I had kids. So, as for what all this means, Reed explains, quote, many encounters with patients emphasized to me how little these young people understood the profound impact changing gender would have on their bodies and minds. But the center downplayed the negative consequences and emphasized the need for transition. As the center's website said, quote, left untreated, gender dysphoria has any number of consequences from self-harm to suicide. But when you take away the gender dysphoria by allowing a child to be who he or she is, we're noticing that goes away. The studies we have show these kids often wind up functioning psychosocially as well as or better than their peers. But there are no reliable studies showing this, Reed writes. Indeed, the experiences of many of the center's patients prove how false these assertions are. Here's an example. On Friday, May 1st, 2020, a colleague emailed me about a 15-year-old male patient. The email said, quote, oh dear, I am concerned that the patient does not understand what Bicalutamide, I think, does. It's medicine. I responded, I don't think we start anything, honestly, right now. Bicalutamide is a medication used to treat metastatic prostate cancer, and one of its side effects is that it feminizes the bodies of men who take it, including the appearance of breasts. The center prescribed this cancer drug as a puberty blocker and feminizing agent for boys. As with most cancer drugs, this drug has a long list of side effects, and the patient experienced one of them, this patient did, which is liver toxicity. He was sent to another unit of the hospital for evaluation and immediately taken off the drug. Afterwards, his mother sent an electronic message to the transgender center saying that we were lucky her family was not the type to sue. Reed also documents a case of a 17-year-old girl on testosterone who experienced bleeding from the vagina that became so heavy that she had to be rushed to the emergency room. It turns out that the girl, though transitioning to become a boy, was still having vaginal intercourse. But that activity combined with the testosterone led to severe vaginal lacerations. And Reed says that this girl was not the only case of this kind that she saw. More from Reed. She writes, other girls were disturbed by the effects of testosterone on their clitoris, which enlarges and grows into what looks like a microphallus or a tiny penis. I counseled one patient whose enlarged clitoris now extended below her vulva, and it chafed and rubbed painfully in her jeans. I advised her to get the kind of compression undergarments worn by biological men who dress to pass as female. At the end of the call, I thought to myself, wow, we hurt this kid. There are rare conditions in babies with babies that are born with atypical genitalia, cases that call for sophisticated care and compassion. But clinics like the one where I worked are creating a whole cohort of kids with atypical genitals. And most of these kids haven't even had sex yet. They had no idea who they were going to be as adults, yet all it took for them to permanently transform themselves was one or two short conversations with a therapist. Reed says that sometimes the parents would only come to understand what they'd consented to on behalf of their children after the fact. So she shares one email from a distraught parent, and the email says, please be advised that I'm revoking my consent for this course of medical treatment. Grades have dropped. There's been an inpatient behavioral health visit, and now he's on five different medications, Lexapro, Trazodone, Buspar, whatever that I pronounce, et cetera. He's a shell of his former self, riddled with anxiety. Who knows if it's because of the blockers or other medications. I revoke my consent. I want the hormone blocker removed. Thank you. Reed also reveals that the transgender clinic at St. Louis Children's Hospital would keep itself stocked with new patients through referrals from the psychiatric ward at the same hospital. So kids who are diagnosed with schizophrenia or, you know, bipolar disorder were funneled through the transgender clinic and then given diagnoses of gender dysphoria as well. And then put on these experimental transitional, transition treatments. She mentions one especially disturbing case. Quote, for example, One teenager came to us in the summer of 2022 when he was 17 years old and living in a lockdown facility because he had been sexually abusing dogs. He'd had an awful childhood. His mother was a drug addict. His father was imprisoned, and he grew up in foster care. Whatever treatment he may have been getting, it wasn't working. During our intake, I learned from another caseworker that when he got out, he planned to reoffend because he believed the dogs had willingly submitted. Somewhere along the line, he expressed a desire to become female. So he ended up being seen at our center. From there, he went to a psychologist at the hospital who was known to approve virtually everyone seeking transition. Then our doctor recommended feminizing hormones. At the time, I wondered if this was being done as a form of chemical castration. Well, it's always a form of chemical castration, so the answer to that is yes. And then there's the issue of parental consent. Reed explains how the clinic would undermine or manipulate the parents because, you know, in theory, the parents have to consent to this, which obviously, even if they do consent to it, it doesn't remotely make any of this okay. But what you find out is that even parental consent many times is not really consent because they themselves are being manipulated. This was especially easy, as she explains, to do in cases where the parents disagreed about the transition. And the clinic, of course, would always side with whichever parents wanted to transition the child. And history would seem to indicate that the parent who wants to transition the child is like almost always the mother. So she recounts one case. Quote, my concerns about this approach to dissenting parents grew in 2019 when one of our doctors actually testified in a custody hearing against a father who opposed a mother's wish to start their 11-year-old daughter on puberty blockers. I had done the original intake call, and I found the mother quite disturbing. She and the father were getting divorced, and the mother described the daughter as kind of a tomboy. So now the mother was convinced her child was trans. But when I asked if her daughter had adopted a boy's name, if she was distressed about her body, if she was saying she felt like a boy, the mother said no. I explained the girl just didn't meet the criteria for an evaluation. Then a month later, the mother called back and said her daughter now used a boy's name and was in distress over her body and wanted to transition. This time the mom and daughter were given an appointment. Our providers decided the girl was trans and prescribed a puberty blocker to prevent her normal development. The father adamantly disagreed, said that this was all coming from the mother, and a custody battle ensued. After the hearing where our doctor testified in favor of transition, the judge sided with the mother. Of course he did. It's not all at all hard to interpret what happened here. Obviously, the girl was an innocent, normal child, maybe a bit of a tomboy, okay? And the mother decided that she wanted the girl to be trans. This is what she wanted, perhaps partially fueled by her resentment against the husband that she was divorcing. Like you see, this is very, very common. As I said, that you get two parents that disagree, and it's almost always the mother. I'm not saying this has never happened, but I'm not aware of a single case where parents disagree on transition and it's the father insisting on it and the mother saying no. Again, maybe that happens. Every case I've ever heard, it's always the mom. And so the mother then learned, you know, she called the clinic and she learned what she needs to say to get drugs for her daughter and then called the clinic back reading from that script. And now this abusive Munchausen mommy who is poisoning her daughter has custody of the child because the judge decided that the daughter is safest with the parent who wants to poison her. This is the world we live in. But it's a world that I believe can change, and that we can change, and we are changing. You know, we can put a stop to this kind of child abuse. We can defeat the child mutilators completely and bring down the entire industry nationwide. I believe that. We are winning this fight, and now with whistleblowers finally coming forward, I have hope that some sort of dam is breaking. Because what they're doing to kids is so straightforwardly evil, so unthinkably brutal and deranged and barbaric, so thoroughly indefensible that it cannot be sustained. The edifice is weak and vulnerable, and we can tear it all down, and we will. I truly believe that. But the job isn't even close to finish yet. There's a lot more to do, and we can't stop until it's done. Next up, a woman can't make heads or tails about being referred to as young lady and takes it to TikTok to rant about it. We'll listen to that after this short break. Stay tuned.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
970.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Here's someone trying to work out how to feel about being misgendered. I thought this was kind of interesting.
So I was just picking up my vehicle from an oil change and the person came out of the garage and said, "What can I do for you, young lady?" And I know that this was intended to be a greeting of respect and kindness or politeness maybe, but I had this immediate like, okay, young, maybe comparatively I'll take it, but I was like, lady, what do I do with that? Like, it's so complicated because I know this person only intended kindness. There was a smile on their face. Like, I know that they weren't trying to like patronize me or gender me, but I felt so gendered and so inappropriately gendered. And I don't know what to do with that. Like, what do you do with that when someone like has the best of intentions and I don't really want to spend all of my spoons trying to educate someone at the Costco car center?
What do you do with that? What you do with that is you live your life. You move on and you live your life and you leave Costco and that's it. That's what you do with that. These people, they fall into this state of like paralysis after just normal, polite interactions. They feel like they have to analyze all of that and every interaction that they have, every interaction they have with anyone is loaded. Every interaction is a loaded interaction and nothing can just, there's no such thing in the world of this kind of person. There's no such thing as just a polite, normal interaction. You and I, as normal, sane people, we have those, that's most of the interactions we have in life, or just with, like, people, acquaintances. You pass somebody on the street, you say hello to someone, and that's it. That's most of the people you meet. There's no reason to even think about it. That doesn't exist for these people that are, but that's also the consequence of believing that you are the center of the universe, and everything that happens is extremely significant. And everyone who talks to you has to talk to you a certain way and approach you a certain way. And if they don't, then it's this traumatic moment in your life. This is a consequence. Next up on the Matt Walsh Show, James O'Keefe is now taking a leave of absence from Project Veritas after claims of rude behavior were made against him. We'll discuss what those claims are after a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is as smooth as with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a Happy New Year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens.
Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Order may be required.
Serving in Afghanistan, I was shot in the head by sniper fire. I was given a 5% chance to live. I'm Adam Alexander, and I'm a veteran. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I tell kids that with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year.
My victory is being there for the next generation.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. All right, one other thing I wanted to mention, a very odd and I think troubling story. And I don't know, I can't make heads or tails of it. I don't know exactly what to make of it, but this is from Newsweek. James O'Keefe, the founder of the controversial right-wing video organization Project Veritas, has taken paid leave from the company with his future currently in doubt. According to an internal message to Project Veritas' employees sent by the organization's executive director, Daniel Strack, seen by the New York Magazine's Intelligencer website, O'Keefe is taking a few weeks off of well-deserved paid time off. The message did not expand upon while the founder of the undercover artist group is on leave from the company. In a further statement, Strack said, like all newsrooms at this stage, the Project Veritas board of directors and management are constantly evaluating what the best path forward is for the organization. Initially is what they said. They said it was just taking leave. We don't know exactly what's going on. And then a leaked memo came out, which reveals that Project Veritas employees have raised concerns about his behavior to the board. The memo obtained by the Daily Beast alleged that workers were troubled and frustrated by O'Keefe's management style, that he was outright cruel to staff members. Project Veritas employees said that O'Keefe engages in berating and public crucifixions of staff members. O'Keefe is also alleged to have forced workers to take lie detector tests to prove they weren't leaking information about the company, spat at them, allegedly. Anyway, then it goes on. I read the whole letter. It's really bizarre, to be honest with you, because there's nothing terribly salacious or extraordinary. There's even someone mentions in the letter, there's a thing about how he took a pregnant woman's sandwich, allegedly. That's mentioned too. Just a bunch of weird and mostly kind of petty complaints, and all amounting to an accusation that James O'Keefe is a jerk, basically. And that's what the accusations come down to. And enough to try to expel him from his own organization. I do think the time is extremely suspicious, because O'Keefe just had this major bombshell exposing Pfizer, one of the most significant scoops in recent memory. And then that's when they try to take him out. So that means that either this is being coordinated by Pfizer somehow, or it's being coordinated by people who are too dumb to at least hold off for a bit so that it doesn't look like it's being coordinated by Pfizer. Either the timing is directly connected, or it's not. And if it's not, then why would you do it at a time when it's going to appear to be connected? But like I said, I don't know exactly what's going on. I also don't know, I don't know which of O'Keefe's alleged rude behaviors are true, if any. But I will say this. What he's being accused of is, at worst, being a jerk, right? That's what he's being accused of. And I'm not saying I believe it. I don't know James O'Keefe. I met him a couple times. We've texted back and forth a few times. Seems like a nice guy to me. I've never heard anything to the contrary. But my point is, I'm actually perfectly willing to believe that he could be a jerk sometimes. And not because I get that vibe from him. No, that's not the point. But because he's doing great things, and he's a high achiever. And high achievers who do great things, historically, you know, can be jerks sometimes in certain situations. Like great men, the people who get things done, visionaries, which James O'Keefe is, I believe, these people have quirks sometimes. They can be difficult to get along with on a personal level. There's nothing unprecedented about that. Again, I don't know if that's the case with James. I have no idea. But it could be, simply because he's one of the get-stuff-done kind of guys. And if that is true, so what? That's the price of having a person like that leading your organization. And it's the only reason why your organization exists or has achieved all the great things that it has. It's a price well worth paying. Like, you're not going to get a great person who does great things and is a visionary and achieves high achiever and who also gets along with everyone all the time and everything is perfect and he has no weird quirks about his behavior and he never, has a bad temper. Like, that doesn't exist. You're not going to find that. So you could find someone who's a little bit more gentle in their behavior and a little bit easier to get along with, but they're not going to have that greatness and high achiever factor to them. So I support James O'Keefe 100%. That's all that to say. All that boils down to I support him 100%. You can't have Project Veritas without him. He is Project Veritas. And so I really hope that whatever's going on, they can work it out. Okay, one other. I've had this sitting on deck for a few days, so I'm just going to mention it. This is from Fox News. A New York middle school is apologizing after serving students with a meal on the first day of Black History Month that was deemed to be culturally insensitive. Administrators at Nyack Middle School say that the hot lunch menu was changed by the vendor without their knowledge on February 1st, the first day of Black History Month, to include chicken and waffles with a watermelon dessert, which the school's principal called an unfortunate situation. We're extremely disappointed by this regrettable situation. Apologize to the entire Nyack community for the cultural insensitivity displayed by our food service providers. I'm disappointed that Aramac would serve items that differed from the published monthly menu, especially items that reinforce negative stereotypes concerning the African-American community. And then also there's going to be, I think, cultural sensitivity and all of the sorts of things, and there are all apologies and all the rest of it. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. So it reinforces negative stereotypes. Why exactly is it a negative stereotype that a lot of Black people like chicken and waffles? Why is that negative? It's just, is it inaccurate? Like, it is true that you tend to find chicken and waffle restaurants and those sorts of dishes in Black communities more than in white communities. So why is that a problem to notice? I like chicken and waffles too. It makes sense. It's a great dish. Actually, hadn't had it. I'd had it for the first time like a year ago. I'd never had chicken and waffles before. And then I had it the first time a year ago. I'm like, it always sounded a little bit weird to me. Like, how do you get kind of chicken and waffles? That's amazing. Then I had them. Like, this is amazing. I love this. So it's a great food. It's a great dish. I think it's accurate to say that it tends to be more popular and prevalent in the Black community. I'm not sure if historically if the first person to come up with the chicken and waffles dish was a Black person. I don't know if that's the case. But who cares? Why is it automatically offensive? What a negative stereotype. What's negative about it? This is what we've done. We've decided that every stereotype is automatically negative simply because it's a stereotype. But that's not the case. A stereotype is a generality made about groups. It's like it's speaking in a kind of general term about a group. And that is not automatic. Now, there can be negative stereotypes. There are things you could say about groups that are not accurate, that are not true, that could be degrading or offensive, but not everything is. Just because you're making a general statement and saying, people in this group generally like this or do this or whatever, it can be true. It's okay to notice it, but this is the conditioning. This is the conditioning they want, where they're telling us that we're not allowed to notice things, or at least we need to ask permission. There are certain things we're allowed to notice and other things we're not allowed to notice, and we need to get permission first. And the fact that the unacceptable things, the things that we're not allowed to notice, the fact that this is so arbitrarily determined, that's part of the game here. It's part of the, as I always talk about, this kind of societal game of Simon Says. So you are allowed to speak in general terms about Black people. That's what Black History Month is all about. You're allowed to talk about things like Black history. So there are, and if you're to say, well, we're celebrating Black history, we're celebrating Black culture, that'd be an okay thing to say. You're allowed to say that. We're going to celebrate Black culture for Black History Month. Okay, you can do that. So you're speaking in general terms now. But then what is Black culture exactly? So we're allowed to celebrate it, But what qualifies? Especially when you get into things like food. What are you allowed to say as part of that scene? That's when the rules become extremely arbitrary, and there's just no way, as a reasonable, rational person, there's no way to know, well, I'm allowed to notice that that this food tends to be a part of that, but not this food. That food's wrong. We can't bring that up. It's completely ridiculous. Next up on our daily cancellation, a guy named Vince schooled some leftist panelists in a new Vice video, and it's pretty hilarious. You got to listen to it. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. A few weeks ago, Vice held a panel discussion with young Asian Americans. And here's how they described the point and theme of the conversation. What does it mean to be Asian in America? From hate crimes to the model minority myth to affirmative action, a politically divisive panel hashes out the most controversial issues facing the AAPI community today. Now, this is the kind of discussion, especially when hosted by an outlet like Vice, that is nearly certain to be excruciatingly boring and annoying. It's already guaranteed that the panel will be stacked with leftists, and leftists are ideologically required to never say anything remotely interesting, especially when the subject has anything to do with race or ethnicity. But fortunately for the viewers, there was at least one young man who managed to make it onto the panel despite having a mind of his own. A Twitter user named Calum posted a couple of videos featuring this man. Vince is his name. And his contributions to the conversation are quite interesting. The clips are revealing and instructive, and also kind of hilarious, not because of what Vince says. I mean, what he says is good and is correct, but there's nothing hilarious about saying something that's true. What makes it funny is because of how the other people on the panel react to him saying those things. So watch this.
Assimilation. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a burden? Is it an opportunity?
I think assimilation is not just a great thing, it's a necessary thing.
Huh.
No society can hold together where people have nothing in common, they don't speak the same language, they don't practice the same things. And, you know, you may look at something like just food habits or what you eat and think that's fairly frivolous. But the truth of the matter is that on a broader level, when we're talking about more big picture things, differences in race, culture, religion, all these things, people have fought wars, violent wars, killed each other over these things for thousands of years. If America is to hold together, assimilation, not just good or bad, necessary. I don't think it's going to be possible for America to survive as a stable functioning society if people don't to some degree say, well, here's what we're going to commonly agree upon.
But who gets to choose it?
The majority culture, I suppose.
And what's the people, majority culture?
The people with power.
And who's people with power?
The people with power.
White people.
Well, I don't know if that's...
I'm going to say it. Yeah. White people. It's okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily so true. I mean...
Wait, can you unpack? Yeah.
Let's elaborate. I don't think a particularly white, quote-unquote, interest controls things like...
In America.
Pop culture.
Do you believe white supremacy exists?
I think there are people who believe in it, and I think there's people who all believe that their race is superior.
So you don't believe in white supremacy?
Do you believe America is a white supremacist state?
No. Not at all.
And not found.
No white supremacist state would even like allow us to be doing this. Like I don't understand. So white supremacists, there's KKK people walking. I go around New York City. I notice that like I guess Brooklyn a little bit different. Most of the people here are not white and they're doing their thing. So I don't understand.
What does doing their thing mean to you?
Going to work.
Are they making the same amount of money?
I gotta say, I like this Vince guy. I mean, I like him for all the reasons that everyone else on the panel is shocked and horrified by him. First of all, his point about assimilation is obviously correct. A nation must be bound together, united by more than just the simple fact that all of its people exist inside the same geographical boundary. And that's even more the case today when the geographical boundary is so porous and apparently, according to this administration, negotiable. We have to have something else holding us together. To be a people, not just people, but to be a people, we must have a shared culture, shared values, shared traditions, a shared language. Without those things, you end up with fracturing and division. That leads to violence, and that leads to chaos and dysfunction, all of which we're experiencing today. Of course, everyone else in the room is offended by this notion, mostly because they're conditioned to be offended by it. These are automatons operating based on their programming. That's also why the obnoxious girl in the front row has purple hair. You know, she can't help but become a parody of herself. It's like, why do these obnoxious liberal women, why even do the purple hair anymore? You are willingly making yourself into a stereotype, into one of the most mocked stereotypes in existence right now. You are saying, I'm going to be that person. But it's all programming. And she is aghast that Vince would suggest assimilating with the majority culture because she claims the majority culture is white. And she sees white as automatically bad, and she holds this view even while telling herself that she is not the racist one. She, along with her leftist cohorts, are also scandalized that Vince will not label America a white supremacist state. But as he points out, if America was run by violent white supremacists who control everything, the first thing they'd probably do is stop you from pointing this out. Okay? Like, this is a pretty good indication. If you want to know, do I live in a white supremacist violent state? Well, can you stand anywhere? Can you go anywhere and just say, this is a violent white supremacist state and nothing happens to you? Oh, no, sorry. That's not nothing happens to you. You can go anywhere and say that and you'll be applauded. Well, if that's the case, then you don't live in a white supremacist state because non-white people can say and do whatever they want and they can condemn white people all they want without any repercussions whatsoever unless as repercussions, you count, again, applause. It's not exactly what you'd expect a white supremacist dystopia to operate. That's not how you expect it to operate. Like, if you didn't know anything about this country, if you're crawling out of a cave, and someone told you, oh, you know, I got some bad news for you. You know, you crawled out of a cave into a white supremacist state. You just so you know, you live in a systemically racist white supremacist state. When you hear that, and you don't know anything. Immediately your mind is going to conjure all kinds of images and you're going to make all kinds of assumptions about what sort of country this is. And then you're going to get out into the world and you're going to find that, wow, it's not anything like that at all. In fact, wow, there's non-white people all over the place running around talking about how much they hate white people. And then there are other groups of people, there are white people following behind them applauding. Well, that's not the kind of white supremacist state I was expecting. But I do have to admit, the guy at the end was on to something. He asked whether non-whites make the same amount of money as whites. And the answer is no, they don't. That's true. Because most of the people in that room, in fact, belong to ethnicities that make more money than white people on average. Many Asian immigrants come to this country and quickly find themselves in a higher income bracket than the average white family. The median household income for Asians in general is $100,000. For white households, it's $77,000. This remains perhaps the most inconvenient truth of all inconvenient truths for the race hustlers. Because if America is a systemically racist country, systemically racist against non-whites, how could it possibly be the case that many non-white communities fare better than whites? In fact, Vince, always on the ball, makes this very point later in the discussion. Listen.
Statistically, it is true that Asians, right, on average, make more money, like in terms of medium, make more money, better test scores, get into better colleges, all that stuff. I think the question is, why is that? And I don't know, model minority, whatever that label wants
that's
to mean.
That's actually a myth because we cannot be...
Well, let me finish my point. We need to observe what makes people successful and unsuccessful. And I think when you look at trends that are generally true in the Asian community, not of everyone, but are generally true, usually you have families that are sticking together. You have, people are taught to work hard in school, not get into trouble. I think that translates to why Asians en masse are successful. And I don't think you have to be Asian or white for that matter to not have kids out of wedlock, not, you know, commit crime, not cause trouble or whatever
happening?
It is. It's just a matter of like, well, common sense, that's what makes people successful. And if that's so-called assimilation, having a nuclear family, buying a house, going to school, whatever it is, then yeah, okay, call me a pro-assimilation then.
I think there's a difference between assimilation and erasure.
Yes.
Now, needless to say, Vince is once again completely and irrefutably right. Asian Americans do very well in this country. They also tend to have intact families. This is not a coincidence. In fact, if you look at a ranking of median household income by race, and then you look at a ranking of divorce rate by race and out of wedlock birth by race, the lists are identical. Okay? The groups that are less likely to get divorced, less likely to have out of wedlock births are also less likely to be poor. As the rates of broken homes increase, the rates of poverty increase between whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians. The black community is the poorest. It's also the community with the most out of wedlock births and broken homes. The statistics here, again, are irrefutable. The only crime that Vince committed was noticing it. And as we've seen time and time again, one of the great moral crimes in our culture today, one of the only moral crimes, is the crime of noticing. Like, we all know that black people as a group generally fare the worst by every societal measure, pretty much. We also know that as a group, they have the highest rates of single-parent households and kids raised without stable and reliable parental guidance. We all know all of that, but these are facts we're supposed to keep on the peripheral. You're not allowed to turn your head slightly to the side and look directly at them. And if you do look at them, you certainly are not permitted to draw any connections or form any conclusions. And if you do look at the facts and you form conclusions, they certainly better not be conclusions that would, even to the slightest extent, put the onus on the black community to improve its own situation. Okay, you better not be implying or suggesting or God forbid, outright saying that the black community can do certain things itself to improve its own position. Like, for example, have kids, get married before you have kids and then stay married. Like, you're not allowed to ever say that. Though I just did. That's the greatest heresy of all. Of course, the other people in the room reacted as you would expect those in a religious cult to react to heresy. If you're only listening to the audio, you're not going to be able to fully appreciate the scene because as Vince calmly explains the benefits of having intact families and discipline and encouraging education, the other panelists were left slack-jawed. You know, they stared in horror, their mouths agape. They shook their heads. They could not believe what they were hearing. They were in close proximity with common sense, perhaps for the first time in their lives, and they found that the experience was terrifying. That, to me, as always, is the most disturbing thing. Yes, obviously Vince is right about everything you said. Obviously the other panelists are wrong, but it's not just that they're wrong, okay? You can be wrong about stuff. It's just that they don't agree with Vince's common sense data-backed analysis of the situation. It's that they were shocked by the analysis. Okay, it's one thing to be wrong, to misinterpret it, to misread it, but you're shocked by it. It's that they apparently had never heard anything like it before. It's one thing to disagree with an obvious truth. It's another to be stunned by it. And that speaks to the suffocating, stifling bubble that these people have been living in. They clearly believe what they believe merely because it's the only belief that was ever presented to them, and they lack the intellectual curiosity to survey the other options. They have nearly totally insulated themselves from everything that might challenge their worldview. So when it does happen, and they finally and by accident encounter such a challenge, they practically faint like damsels in distress. And that's what we saw there. And it's why Vince is not canceled today. In fact, I just found out as I was preparing the segment that Vince has his own YouTube channel, which you can find if you search Vince Dao, D-A-O, on YouTube, and you should look him up. He's obviously a brilliant guy. The same cannot be said for the others in the room. And that is why they are today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. The White House said Friday that a high-altitude object had been shot down over Alaska. At a Pentagon briefing, spokesman Brigadier General Patrick Ryder said that they were working on recovering the object.
On February 9, North American Aerospace Defense Command detected an object on ground radar and further investigated and identified the object using fighter aircraft. The object was flying at an altitude of 40,000 feet and posed a reasonable threat to the safety of civilian flight.
National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said it was smaller than the Chinese balloon.
This was the size of a small car, and it was over a very sparsely populated area, but also more critically over water space when we ordered this down, as we did the last one.
The girls accused of beating their classmate at a New Jersey high school days before she died by suicide are facing assault charges. The 14-year-old was found dead at her home after a video of the beating went viral on social media. Ocean County prosecutors say one of the alleged attackers is being charged with the adult equivalent of aggravated assault, two with the conspiracy to commit aggravated assault, and another with harassment. They're expected to be charged as juveniles. A school official is now under fire for claiming the victim was on drugs and making other questionable comments about the victim's family. In California, victims of childhood sex abuse may soon be able to hold their alleged abusers accountable without worry of the statute of limitations. The Justice for Survivors Act would end California's civil statute of limitations for people who have experienced sexual abuse. Under current law, survivors who experience sexual assault as minors only have until their 40th birthday to seek justice in civil court. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The first officer in the arrest of Tyree Nichols had been accused of brutality as a jailer.
Before police officer Demetrius Haley pulled Tyree Nichols from his car last month, Haley was accused of taking part in the savage beating of an inmate at the Shelby County Jail. The 2015 incident was so disturbing that 34 other inmates, the entire cell block, signed a letter to the corrections director. Part of the letter stated, "We are truly asking that this matter gets looked into before someone gets hurt really bad or loses their life." It's unclear if Haley was ultimately disciplined for the incident or cleared of any wrongdoing. He's one of five officers charged with second-degree murder and the death of Nichols. I'm Shelley Adler.
Disney World's self-governing status in Florida has been changed. The newly passed bill gives the state more control over Disney World's board, which handles local governance.
News and analysis at townhall.com. China is again reacting to the U.S. shootdown of a Chinese spy balloon.
Beijing says yes, it did refuse a call from U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin after the balloon was shot down because the U.S. had not created the proper atmosphere for dialogue. Beijing is also slamming a unanimous House of Representatives vote that accused China of brazenly violating U.S. sovereignty with the balloon flight. Beijing dismissing the vote as hype and political manipulation, and saying the U.S. violated international norms and set a pernicious precedent when it shot down the balloon. China insists this was a weather balloon that simply went off course. I'm Rita Foley.
A Nicaraguan judge has sentenced Roman Catholic Bishop Rolando Alvarez to 26 years in prison. This comes one day after he refused to get on a flight to the United States with 222 other prisoners. More on these stories at townhall.com.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
It's a race against the clock as Savannah Sprunt Fairchild Honeycutt agrees to get her feisty mother-in-law from Alabama to California, all in time for her brother's wedding. The only problem? Mama Won't Fly. A comedy by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten. Directed by Jennifer Levins. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Mama Won't Fly. January 27th through February 11th at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joe Biden is preparing his 2024 race, or his 2024 hobble, or his 2024 gradual crawling toward the finish line. And that means that he's attempting to rejigger his entire administration around new messaging. In 2020, his message was basically Donald Trump is terrible and evil. In 2024, his message is going to have to be something different. He's going to have to actually expand his message in an attempt to broaden his base. The Democratic coalition in 2020 was essentially upper crust white liberals who had graduated college, and poor minorities, and then a bunch of people who were really disillusioned with Donald Trump. But if Trump isn't on the ballot, and right now the polls show that Donald Trump is actually not the front runner for the Republican nomination, that he is fading pretty badly here. If that's the case, Joe Biden knows he's going to have to earn more votes than he did last time in order for him to be able to win re-election. And make no mistake, he is running. I mean, he has decided that he is all in despite all of the Democratic angst and heartburn over whether or not an 80-year-old man should be running for president of the United States. He will do it, even if he is 82 years old at the time that he would enter his second term. But there are some obstacles lying in the way for Joe Biden. One is corruption, and the other is his own incompetence. So when it comes to the corruption angle, people seem to forget that there are a couple of scandals that seem to be kind of lurking out there for Joe Biden. One, of course, is the classified documents scandal. The fact that he is now out there openly admitting that he's had classified documents since like 1974 in his place. And that in and of itself isn't a huge scandal considering how many politicians have been caught up in classified documents issues in just the last couple of years, ranging from Donald Trump to Mike Pence to Joe Biden. But it does raise questions as to his judgment. And it raises even more questions as to how his administration attempted to cover up news of the classified documents prior to the 2022 elections. There will be investigations about that. But there are other investigations that are ongoing. So yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, testified on Thursday before the House's new select subcommittee on political weaponization. And he said there have now been whistleblower disclosures indicating that the FBI has evidence that Joe Biden is aware of his family's business schemes. So you'll recall that the Biden family is a corrupt crime family, that Hunter Biden travels around the world picking up sacks of cash, which he then uses apparently on prostitutes and cocaine and meth. And he does so on the basis of his father's name. He did that for years at a time. And you'll recall that on his computer, there are messages about 10% for the big guy. And there were texts in which he talked about how he was paying all of Joe's bills and all the rest of this, which raised serious questions as to whether Joe Biden, when he was vice president of the United States, was benefiting from his son going around picking up bags of cash from foreign sources. So that was question number one. Joe Biden also has brothers, like his brother James, who apparently travels around the country dropping his brother's name in order to secure particular contracts, but they promise that there will be some sort of connection made with Joe Biden. Now, that is, in fact, misuse of government resources, if Joe Biden is aware of that, or if he is getting a cut of that, or if he is benefiting in any way from all of that. And so these are the sorts of investigations that are going to take place now. Joe Biden escaped the scrutiny of the media in 2020 because he was running against Donald Trump. And that was really the only time anyone was going to investigate Joe Biden, because why would you investigate the vice president? No one cares about the vice president. Is anybody investigating Kamala Harris right now? She's boring, and the office itself isn't worth a warm bucket of spit, in the famous words of John Adams. But now Joe Biden is president. In 2020, media weren't going to investigate this at all. They still would prefer not to investigate it. They prefer to poo-poo all of this. But Republicans do actually control the House, the thing Democrats were afraid of, and Republicans taking the House were all of these investigative subcommittees. So now Senator Chuck Grassley is actually testifying that there is a whistleblower who may come forward with evidence that Joe Biden knew that his family was participating in these schemes. Here was Senator Grassley yesterday.
Further allegations to my office involved FBI personnel at the Washington field office who improperly ordered information to be closed by the FBI related to Hunter Biden's potential criminal conduct in October 2020, just before the election, even though it was verified or it was verifiable. Other whistleblower disclosures to my office make clear that the FBI has within its possession very significant, impactful, and voluminous evidence with respect to potential criminal conduct by Hunter and James Biden.
And Grassley went on to say these disclosures also allege that Joe Biden was aware of Hunter Biden's business arrangements and may have been involved in some of them. So this raises questions not only about the Bidens, by the way, but also about the FBI. Why does it take FBI whistleblowers in order to let Chuck Grassley know about this? Why isn't the FBI actually being transparent about any of this? Now, you can say, well, they're doing so for investigative purposes, that, you know, they really try to be opaque. They try to be a black box while an investigation is in progress in order not to bias the case. I'd have a lot more trust in that if they weren't selectively leaking about Donald Trump every 5 seconds during the Trump administration, which is what they did. They spent every single day finding ways to leak about Donald Trump. It's amazing how the quote unquote deep state leaks to the benefit of Democrats repeatedly, but suddenly they clam up and they are absolutely opaque when it comes to Democrats. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So these sorts of revelations could be coming. And if they are coming, that is a real problem for Joe Biden. And there could be an attached scandal nonetheless with regard to the FBI, because it turns out that the FBI's corruption is very real. Whistleblower documents uncovered by the Heritage Foundation, the Daily Signal, show that the FBI, for example, the Richmond office repeatedly cited the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a far-left smear factory, in an intelligence bulletin attempting to label certain groups extremist. It was the FBI, of course, that was laundering into public view the Steele dossier via James Comey. So the twin problems of Hunter and Joe Biden's corruption, James Biden's corruption, the possibility of Joe's involvement in all of that, plus FBI malfeasance is going to lead to tremendous mistrust, not only in the FBI, but into the veracity of any investigation into Joe Biden, which means that these investigative subcommittees are going to become very important in short order. There's more on this in just 1 second. First, you know, one of the worst things in life is being hacked. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but a couple of years ago, there's somebody who actually got into our credit card and then proceeded to rack up like $50,000 worth of charges on NFL season tickets, which, by the way, is not a good bargain. But one of the things I learned from that is you got to protect your data. And this is one of the reasons I use ExpressVPN. Companies aren't just selling products anymore. They're actually selling you. I'm talking about how tech companies enrich themselves by taking your personal data. How do you think those big tech companies like Twitter or Facebook make all their money? The answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices to make it so much more difficult for them to exploit my data for their own profits. The best part is how easy it is to use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or a computer to turn it on. That's all it takes to keep people out of my business. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro right now. Get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, the twin scandals of Joe Biden's actual activity with regard to his own family, plus a law enforcement mechanism that is run top down by people like Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice, that could really come back to haunt Joe Biden. And he knows it, which is why he's speaking through lawyers right now. It's also why he's avoiding interviews like the plague. So you will recall that every Super Bowl Sunday, it's now become a presidential tradition, the president holds a pre-Super Bowl interview with the network that is airing the Super Bowl. Barack Obama used to do it all the time. You remember that Barack Obama was interviewed by Bill O'Reilly at one point. Right? This sort of thing has sort of become a tradition. But Joe Biden will never be interviewed by an unfriendly source. He will only be interviewed by friendlies. This is why when you hear folks in the media yell about Donald Trump, he won't sit down with CNN. Or Ron DeSantis, why won't he talk to legacy media? Well, you guys started it. According to Joe Biden and his office, he has not yet committed to a pre-Super Bowl interview with Fox News, a move that suggests the Democrat may buck the tradition of granting the network broadcasting the big game an interview. According to CNN Business, we don't have a formal no, but we're operating like it's not happening. The person familiar with the matter explained to CNN on Thursday evening. Biden has sat down with two interviews this week, but one was with PBS NewsHour, Judy Woodruff, who's an ally, and the other was with Telemundo, which is another allied network. Biden has not granted Fox News a single interview during his presidency, despite the network repeatedly asking. According to CNN, quote, that's likely due to how the right-wing channel portrays him and his administration, with extremists like Tucker Carlson regularly launching vicious attacks on him. I don't remember you guys having exactly the same kind of excuse-making when it was Donald Trump who was rejecting your interviews. And I was like, why won't he listen to us? Why won't he talk to us? We're the objective journalismers. Here is the deal. If you're the president of the United States, you probably should do interviews with all sorts of sources, and you should be unafraid of walking into the fire. But Joe Biden is afraid, and he should be afraid, because, frankly, he's not doing a very good job. And when he's asked even remotely difficult questions, he bridles. So yesterday, for example, Joe Biden was asked by Telemundo about bringing down the Chinese spy balloon. Why did he wait so long to bring down the Chinese spy balloon? And he immediately launched into an answer about how he was afraid that it would hit a house. Dude, Montana is big, and there are two people in the whole state. The notion that you were deeply afraid that if you shot down the Chinese spy balloon, that was really what was at play here, is that they could only bring it down and not kill somebody if they were doing it over the ocean. It's just nonsense. Here was Joe Biden's answer.
Do you regret not having insisted on bringing it down sooner?
No. I look at the expert, the intelligence community, defense community. They forgot more about it than you or I know. I said I wanted to shot down as soon as possible, and they were worried about the damage that could be done, even in a big state like Montana. This thing was gigantic. What happened if it came down and hit a school?
Yeah, not particularly convincing. Okay, so, again, the twin threats to Joe Biden's 2024 campaign are, one, corruption, and that is very much an alive question, and two, is his own incompetence. And so he has to shift, and his shift is going to be toward spending more money. Oodles and oodles and oodles of money. He's going to run the John Edwards campaign in 2004. He's going to run the Barack Obama campaign, not from 2012, but from 2008. He's going to go back to the well, and he's going to start running the old Democrat playbook. Now, it's actually relatively clever, because one thing that Joe Biden has noticed is that intersectionality is not playing well with the flyover states, the so-called flyover states. Like, the Rust Belt is not interested in Joe Biden's brand of equity and transing the kids. People don't like that stuff very much. So instead, he's going to angle himself toward, what if I just give you boatloads of money? What if I just yell about entitlements? And this is pretty safe territory for Democrats. It really is. Now, I think they're going to have a tough time squaring the circle, because I think that the quasi-socialist, redistributionist Democrat Bernie Sanders program does not live all that comfortably with the wokists. The wokists believe that they have grabbed control of the steering wheel in this kind of weird clown car that is the Democratic Party. And I'm not sure they're going to give it up all that easily. Remember that it seemed like in 2016, Bernie Sanders was on the rise and Bernie was going to take it from Hillary because he was running from the socialistic left. And what actually killed him is the wokists coming in from his left and saying, well, you don't care enough about race. You don't care enough about the social issues. You don't care enough about the key issues about human happiness. And it really clocked Bernie upside the head. And ever since, Bernie has been kind of wandering in the wilderness. Joe Biden had to pay all sorts of homage to the radical left during the 2020 campaign. He had to do it over and over and over again. He had to go soft on the defund the police movement, for example, right? He was fairly quiet about that. Every so often he would sort of tut-tut them, but at the same time, he was declaring the police systemically racist. He had to go very soft on the social policy sort of stuff, right? He was talking in radical terms about abortion and transgenderism and trans kids and all the rest of this sort of stuff. But you'll notice in the State of the Union address this week that he did something else. He front-loaded all the econ talk, and he back-loaded all the other stuff. So he back-loaded foreign policy, where he's weak. He backloaded all of the dramatically radical social issues that the base really loves, because he knows he's now secured the base, right? I mean, no one's going to run against him in a primary, realistically speaking, unless he has some sort of tremendous health failure. So instead, what he's going to run on is a kind of two-pronged campaign. One is, I will spend more money than you have ever seen. And two is, Republicans will stop me from spending more money than you have ever seen. These are the twin prongs. Now, you may say to yourself, wait a second, wasn't spending all of this money how we got 6.5% inflation last month and elevated prices on everything over the course of the last 2 years, like record inflation? Isn't that how we got here? Is because you spent too much money? The answer, of course, is yes. But Joe Biden is relying on, I think, a slim chance that there's a quote-unquote soft landing, and he's relying on his friends in the media to recapitulate what exactly is happening in the economy. So instead of there being talk about stagnation, which is what we are about to hit, there will be talk about a soft landing. They've now lowered the bar for economic growth so much that as long as there's not an outright negative growth recession, the media will declare that everything is hunky-dory and Joe Biden did a fine and fabulous job. And so you're starting to see the New York Times prep the ground. You have to understand that pretty much all media coverage right now is push polls. So push polls are a kind of poll that is done in political campaigns where the goal isn't to actually measure what people think about a given issue. The actual goal is to push people on that issue. So somebody will call you up on the phone and they'll ask you a question like, don't you think Donald Trump is a racist? Now, they're not actually attempting to garner whether you think Donald Trump is a racist or not. The idea is to push you into thinking about Donald Trump and racism. It is a push poll. It's done very often right before election campaigns. The same thing is being done by the media now. Their coverage is no longer coverage. It is push coverage. It's an attempt to push you into believing a thing by pretending that they're objective journalism. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Alrighty, coming up, the media know that Joe Biden needs to run on his economic record. The problem is the economy is probably going to stagnate. The good news is the media are there to be his Praetorian guard, as always. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Columbia Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, taking place Saturdays at 2 p.m. inside the Mill Building at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp at Turtle Bay. Now through February 11th, come experience this 30-minute indoor animal show in person to learn how animals of all kinds survive in the wild. Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay, Saturdays at 2 p.m., free for members included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are there to help Joe Biden in his 2024 race by presenting you with the idea that the economy is actually going great guns and will continue to do so. Speaking of push coverage, the New York Times has an article today titled, What Recession? Some economists see chances of a growth rebound. Now, you can always find economists to say nearly anything. I mean, there were stories in the New York Times for years before the inflation surge from the quote-unquote experts suggesting that inflation would never come. And people like Gabriel Sayas, who is a econ advisor to Elizabeth Warren, was suggesting that modern monetary theory was going to put us in the driver's seat in terms of the global economy. And turns out that you can find experts to say pretty much anything. When the media say some experts, what they really mean is we think. And then they go and they find a couple of obscure professors somewhere to suggest that things are exactly as they think they are going to be. Right? It's push coverage. So here's what the New York Times says. Many economists and investors had a clear narrative coming into 2023. The Federal Reserve had spent months pushing borrowing costs rapidly higher in a bid to tame inflation. Those moves were expected to slow growth and the labor market so much that the economy would be at risk of plunging into a downturn. But the recession calls are now getting a rethink. Are they, though? Employers added more than 500,000 jobs in January. The housing market shows signs of stabilizing or even picking back up. Many Wall Street economists have marked down the odds of a downturn this year. After months of asking whether the Fed could pull off a soft landing in which the economy slows but does not plummet into a bruising recession, analysts are raising the possibility it will not land at all. That growth will simply hold up. Now, buried in paragraph 4 here is some of the data. Quote, not every data point looks sunny. Manufacturing remains glum. Consumer spending has been cracking. Some analysts still think a mild recession this year remains likely. But there have been enough surprises pointing to continued momentum that Fed officials themselves seem to see a better chance the nation will avoid a painful downturn, that resilience could even be a problem. Economists are beginning to ask whether growth and the job market will run too warm for inflation to slow, as more central bankers are hoping, eventually forcing the Fed to respond more aggressively. So in other words, what they're actually saying is it's not going to be a soft landing. The inflation is just going to remain high. I keep coming back to this fact, but it is true. When Joe Biden became president and he put out his economic forecast for the next decade or so, his suggestion was that we would have hot growth in for a couple of years, and then we would have growth at below 2% year on year, pretty much every year from now into infinity. That is not good, guys. That is stagnation. Meanwhile, again, the interest rates are likely to jack up. John C. Williams, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, indicated on Wednesday quarter point moves were likely to remain the norm. He suggested rates might even have to adjust by more if demand and price increases stay elevated. He said demand in our economy is much stronger right now than you might expect in a regular pre-pandemic situation. How high rates must climb in order to be sufficiently restrictive has got to be influenced by that. But one of the things that is going to force the interest rates up is, of course, more spending. So Joe Biden has to lie to you. He has to suggest that everything is hunky-dory. Don't look at the inflation rate. Instead, look around and be happy and think that you want more of this. So that is prong number one. Right? Prong number one is we are going to give you more of what you've already had. And you're going to love it. It's going to be amazing. Paul Krugman is doing this routine again. A man who once declared that the internet would have no impact on the American economy, Paul Krugman. He's been right about like some trade policy, which is the reason why he won a Nobel in economics. And he's been wrong about literally everything else the rest of his entire career. But Paul Krugman has an article today suggesting that Democrats are, in fact, not radical on nearly anything. He suggests that Joe Biden's economic program is wildly popular and that Republicans are the ones who are truly radical. And this gets him to his actual agenda. The actual agenda of the Democrats is not even the spending. They're not going to get as much spending as they wanted before because Republicans now control the House of Representatives. This brings us to prong two of Joe Biden's incipient campaign, and that is Republicans are going to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, unfortunately, that is a lie. Republicans are not going to cut Social Security, and they are not going to cut Medicare, and they are certainly not going to do so while Joe Biden is president. The reason I say unfortunately is because a train is coming down the tracks, and it is the failure of Social Security and Medicare. These are giant Ponzi schemes, and eventually the bill is going to come due. In fact, we know that in the next decade, there's going to be serious insolvency problems with Social Security as well as Medicaid, unless you radically increase taxes, say a value-added tax, which nobody wants, or you radically scale up income taxes for the middle class and the lower classes. Yes, because it turns out that you can't tax those rich people enough to pay for all of this. And that train is coming down the tracks, and everybody knows it. We are demographically upside down in this country. We have too many old people and not enough young people to pay the bills for those old people. Social Security is kicking in at 65. The average life expectancy in the United States right now is about 80, which means that you have paid enough money for about 2 or 3 years of Social Security income, but you have not paid enough money for 15 years of Social Security income. But Democrats are screaming and shouting that we can't raise the retirement age. So we are going to politic ourselves directly into a fiscal crisis, which is the same thing that Europe has done over and over and over again. But Joe Biden is going to politic off of that, because kicking the can down the road is a fantastic way of campaigning. Already coming up, Joe Biden's economy probably ain't going to go that great over the next couple of years. So instead, he's just going to lie that Republicans want to cut all of your entitlements. That's an old saw, but he's going to do it anyway. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The groundhog saw his shadow, which means more winter weather woes for your vehicle. The good news is Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive can repair those minor scratches and scrapes. And their experienced technicians can also perform major auto body repairs. Plus, Crossroads Auto Body Repair offers full body paint jobs. Crossroads Auto Body Repair. New name, same great service and location. 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout, or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Well, not when it comes to minor or major auto body repair. That's when you need to call the professionals at Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive, and their number is 530-226-0992. Call today and make an appointment for a free estimate. Gift certificates are also available at Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992 and make an appointment today for a free estimate. That's 530-226-0992.
09.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's 2024 campaign is reliant on two basic ideas, both of them false. One, the economy is going great thanks to Joe Biden. And two, Republicans wish to dramatically and disastrously cut Social Security and Medicare. So here is Joe Biden demagoguing the issues of Social Security and Medicare in rather nonsensical fashion, because everything the man says is now nonsensical since he is on the verge of senility.
We saw on Tuesday night Republicans don't like me being called out on this. They were not very happy with me pointing this out. But their words speak. Look, I know that a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. If that's your dream, I'm your nightmare.
Well, I mean, he is definitely a nightmare. But the deep irresponsibility of so many people in politics, which is, what if we just pretend that a problem that obviously is looming is not looming? And then we yell at people who notice that the problem is looming. It really is amazing. So what you hear from Joe Biden is that Social Security and Medicare, there must never be any changes to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, any of these quote unquote entitlement programs. Never any changes to that. That disaster, by the way, is looming within the decade. But the greatest threat facing you and your family is not the insolvency of some of the nation's most important entitlement programs. The greatest threat facing you is that in 100 years, it's going to be slightly warmer outside. That is the greatest threat facing you. In fact, we have to restructure the entire American economy today in order to account for the possible threat of global warming 100 years from now. But Social Security and Medicare, these things, they will never go insolvent. And in fact, if you even talk about them, this means that you're a crazy person. Now, Zachary Wolf, writing for CNN, points out that Medicare and Social Security insolvency is directly around the corner. President Biden, he says, is accusing Republicans of wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. He says he will protect these key pillars of the social safety net. But the reality is that Medicare hospital insurance is already running out of money. In their annual report released last June, Medicare's trustees reported the Hospital Insurance Trust Fund will bring in $412 billion in 2023, and it will spend $416 billion. So it's going to spend $3 billion more than it generates in revenue. The Hospital Insurance Trust Fund will be completely gone by 2028. Which means the government has to do something. And meanwhile, Social Security is running out of money as well. The financial outlook of Social Security is a bit different than it is for Medicare, says CNN. And this is CNN. The cost of Social Security, funded through payroll taxes, began to be higher than its income in 2021. It will be higher in all future years. So we are already running in the red on Social Security, like today. Two Social Security trust funds, both of which own U.S. debt in the form of treasuries, should cover costs for the next decade. The trust fund that pays checks to seniors will be depleted in 2034. Starting in 2035, Social Security would only be able to pay 77% of benefits without government action. And by the way, the CBO has that estimate at 2033, which means that there are only a few things that can be done. You have to either reduce benefits, or you have to increase taxes, or you have to raise the retirement age. These are the only things that can be done. But Joe Biden is going to demagogue this issue, and he's going to pretend that it's not a crisis in any way. And he's probably going to get away with it, because the truth is that in the end, the American taxpayer does not want to face the consequences of our own fiscal irresponsibility. Democrats know this, which is why they keep running on it. And again, this is why you have push journalism. This is why you have push coverage from the Washington Post. Quote, GOP hopefuls pass positions on Social Security loom over 2024 primary. So now we're going to just have a debate over Social Security and Medicare, even though no one is actually talking about doing anything serious about it and hasn't been talking about it, unfortunately, since about 2006. It was about 2004 when George W. Bush was reelected that he talked about privatizing certain portions of Social Security, guaranteeing that everybody who already was in Social Security would get their money out. But if you were nearing retirement age, instead of you paying your payroll tax into the government, you could take that and put it in the stock market, for example. And he got yelled off the stage, and then Democrats won in 2006. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. Paul Ryan, when he was Speaker of the House, tried to do something, complete fail. It didn't go anywhere with a Republican president. So realistically speaking, we are just going to, it's going to be the train in Back to the Future 3 over Eastwood Ravine. I mean, this thing is going off the rails and ain't nobody going to stop it. But the media are going to push the idea that Republicans cannot be elected because they might try to stop that train from going off the rails. Sadly, they are wrong. No one's going to try to stop this train from going off the rails. Donald Trump has been demagoguing this thing with Ron DeSantis, suggesting that he's not going to cut Social Security, but you know who will? Is it Ron DeSanctimonious? Our politicians are irresponsible because they lie to us to tell us the things that we want to hear. But this is part of Joe Biden's actual routine, circa 2024. Henry Olson, who is more of a big government Republican writing for the Washington Post, he says that this is actually going to work from Joe Biden. He says President Biden is trying to steal Republican thunder when it comes to appealing to working class Americans. If the GOP wants to win in future elections, it can't let this happen. It must present its own viable blend of populism to counter Joe Biden's. Biden's brand of America First was evident throughout his speech. He highlighted his administration's efforts to boost manufacturing in the United States and other issues important to U.S. workers, such as protecting government entitlement programs. Conservatives should be responding with a united front. Instead, they are engaging in an increasingly acrimonious debate on economic policy. The economic arguments, says Henry Olson, this debate are varied and complex. The political arguments are simpler and perhaps ultimately more important. It comes down to this. Does the Republican Party need to embrace some degree of economic nationalism and populism to secure its newfound base in working class voters of all races and nationalities? Now, yeah, I think, again, this is Henry Olson, who is a big government Republican, sort of doubling down on his agenda. He thinks that the reason that Republicans won in 2016 is because Donald Trump was a big government conservative, meaning that he was in favor of some socially conservative policies, although not all that many. He was anti-woke, but he was into tariffs and he was into big government spending and all the rest of it. I'm not sure that that is actually the path to electoral victory, but he is not wrong that Joe Biden running against cutting entitlement programs will likely be a success. And again, it's deeply dishonest. The same people who declare that Social Security and Medicare are not in crisis are now suggesting that climate change and global issues ought to be handled by the World Bank because it's such a crisis. This is why you have Janet Yellen, the current U.S. Treasury Secretary, who I thought was actually the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Like, she's supposed to be concerned with the fact that she's done a terrible job and inflation is at 6.5%. And remember, she was the Federal Reserve Chair until 5 minutes ago. So just everybody keeps failing upward. Here she was trying to push the World Bank to be bolder on climate change. These are the priorities.
The bank must be bolder and more imaginative in its operational approach. For example, we know that subnational entities can sometimes have greater expertise and willingness to implement innovative projects. So what if we made it easier for cities to gain access to funding for climate-smart urban infrastructure?
And this is what they're going to run on the global scale. It's more on this in just 1 second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly you have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time. Well, as you are making your way off this earthly terrain, you think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Now, again, is this going to be successful from Joe Biden, this sort of populist push? I have my doubts. I think that the wokes are going to push him into line eventually. I think that the social issues are still a killer for the Democrats. The social issues that they want you not to talk about are still a killer for the Democrats. But you can see that what Biden is doing is actually relatively intelligent for what is left in his feeble brain, or at least the people around him know that they need to make that sort of move. They also know that they need to, at all costs, of course, avoid Kamala Harris being the candidate. They're going to have to prop this old man up until he is no longer literally capable of doing this, because Kamala Harris continues to be Kamala Harris. Yesterday, another deep thought with Kamala Harris.
And now, deep thoughts with Kamala Harris.
And here she was yesterday. She loves her electric school buses. I don't know when the remit of the vice presidency became electric school buses, but here we go.
Cities and towns with electric fleets spend less on gas and maintenance. And as some of the leaders here can attest, that means more money in the local budget to add more routes, more stops, and more drivers. And that means more reliable service. So, you know, for anyone who's had to wait too long in the cold because the bus is late, you know how much that matters. All of this to say, electric buses are key to the future of public transportation in America.
Oh, man. You excited about the electric buses? They need Joe Biden in that office as long as humanly possible. Now, one of the things that I've said here is that I think that as much as Joe Biden would like to steer back toward the economic issues, he'd like to go back toward sort of Clintonian third wayism with much, much bigger government. He'd like to go back to FDR kind of policies. This is where he feels his sweet spot is. I'm not sure that his own party is going to allow him to do that. And the reason is because they actually have a religious worldview. And that religious worldview is no longer chiefly economic. They're no longer into the Elizabeth Warren brand of Democratic Party politics. They are more into the religious component of wokeness. I don't think that's going away anytime soon. I think everybody on the right who's sort of saying, well, wokeness is starting to fit, I think that you are happy talking yourselves. I do not think that is the case whatsoever. That's an actual religious worldview now. Now, to pretend that left-wing progressivism on social issues is merely a sort of outgrowth of normal secularism is not true. It forces you to believe things that are actively untrue. And it is, in fact, a form of religion. It's one of the reasons why, for example, you've seen the infiltration of secular leftist worldviews on social issues infused into progressive churches. Now, people say these aren't churches anymore. That's wrong. They are churches. They are progressive churches. Churches to progressivism or churches to transgressivism, which is why you're seeing more and more videos of churches themselves turning themselves into altars on behalf of left-wing social values. So, for example, there's a video going around yesterday of a pastor suggesting the drag queen story hour affirms what they are as a church. This is on CNN. I don't see this as particularly shocking, actually.
The bingo event itself wasn't initially part of the lesson, but I imagine it's become part of a really important lesson, not only for your congregation, but for the community as well, Reverend.
Yeah, and I do want to say that the positive response and the generosity of response that we enjoyed with this event was extraordinary. It's unlike anything that I've ever experienced. I do think that the overall experience was extremely positive. It was an affirmation of who we are as a church, how we think about the commandment to love our neighbor.
Reverend Todd Better over at a church in Connecticut being featured on CNN, because they're all part of the same religious community. And that religious community isn't going to go away. The religion of woke leftism, of radical gender theory leftism, it's not going to go away. They're going to demand their pound of flesh when it comes to national politics. Joe Biden ain't going to be able to escape that. It's going to come up over and over again in the campaign. And he's going to try to redirect over to Social Security and Medicare. It ain't going to work. This is a broad international movement, by the way. This religious movement, the secular religious movement, because it is, in fact, a pagan religion of its own, has now infused into major church institutions. The left is great at this. They take over institutions and they wield those institutions as sort of meat puppets on behalf of their viewpoint. This is why, for example, the Church of England just voted in favor of blessings for same-sex unions. According to the UK Guardian, Church of England priests will be permitted to bless the civil marriages of same-sex couples in a profound shift in the church's stance on homosexuality after a historic vote by its governing body. The first blessings for gay couples should happen this summer. Individual churches will be encouraged to state clearly whether they will offer blessings to avoid confusion and disappointment. After an impassioned debate lasting more than 8 hours, the Church of England's National Assembly, the Church Synod, voted by 250 votes to 181 to back a proposal by bishops intended to end years of painful divisions and disagreements over sexuality. But emotionally charged speeches from those advocating full equality for LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign happy face emoji Christians and those arguing that traditional biblical teaching on marriage and sex must be upheld signaled the debate is set to continue. The synod also agreed the church will apologize for the harm it has caused to LGBTQ people and welcomed a forthcoming review of a ban on clergy entering into same-sex civil marriages themselves and a celibacy rule for clergy in same-sex relationships. Conservatives narrowly succeeded in amending the motion to state that it was church's doctrine of marriage between a man and a woman was unchanged, but they are still allowing blessings, and the Archbishop said, quote, for the first time, the Church of England will publicly, unreservedly, and joyfully welcome same-sex couples in church. Hey, this obviously has nothing to do with historic or traditional Christianity or biblical belief. I mean, it is a direct rejection of that. Historical Judeo-Christian belief, biblical belief, suggests that homosexual acts are a sin. But secular worldview has now infused all of these institutions. And the idea is that if you say that certain activity is a sin and certain people have a predilection for this kind of activity, this means that you are intolerant and bigoted toward those people, which, of course, runs directly contra the basic premise of religion, which is that you are in charge of your own activity no matter the temptation, and that life is a struggle with temptation, and we all fall short, and we all fail. But that's what religion is. It's a demand to do things that you don't necessarily want to do on behalf of a higher morality. The Church of England has now been taken over by the cult of authenticity, the cult of secular left-wing authenticity and transgressivism, and you're going to see this increasingly, because to pretend that what's happening on the left here with regard to social policy is not, in fact, a religion is to ignore what it is. It is a cult that requires, in some cases, human sacrifice. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let me take a moment to shoot straight with you. You can be a hero. The donations you're currently giving to the good work of Preborn, it saves lives. Right now, these babies are taking their first breath. Your impact has reached eternity, and we've only just begun. Why? Because babies need our help. See, the overturning of Roe only made the left more ravenous to kill the unborn, unfortunately. So now we need to be even more ravenous to save them. Thanks to Preborn Pregnancy Network, we can do just that. For just $28, you can introduce at-risk babies to their mothers. The cost of a dinner to save a life. Once she sees that precious life and hears that heartbeat on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life because of you. She can. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. Every day, their clinics save 150 babies. You can be a hero by giving a baby life. Just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. The quality of the ultrasounds these days is absolutely incredible. My wife is pregnant with our fourth child. We saw an ultrasound the other day. It just blows you away. And that's true for so many moms who are thinking about whether or not to keep their baby. Once they see the ultrasound, their decision is almost made for them. Dial #250 and say keyword baby to get started helping out our friends over at preborn.com. Or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, coming up, the woke religious cult actually does require human sacrifice. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Served daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Required.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the cult of woke religiosity, which is really what it is, it's a cult, they demand human sacrifice. They really do. And that has come in the form of literally taking children and then sacrificing them to the trans god. And it is terrifying stuff. I mean, I talked yesterday about this amazing piece from a person named Jamie Reed over at Barry Weiss's The Free Press, thefp.com. You should go check it out, in which she talks about her experiences at the Washington University School of Medicine Division of Infectious Diseases, working with teens and young adults who are HIV positive, and then joining the Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital, where they basically mainlined kids directly into, quote unquote, gender-affirming healthcare with like one appointment. Suddenly kids were taking life-altering drugs. Drugs that would sterilize them, drugs that would change their brain chemistry, and all the rest. Well, now, the consequences of this are becoming clear because of this whistleblower. The fact that it takes years for whistleblowers to come forward about the most obvious abuses I have ever seen is truly incredible. Why, first of all, why would it even take a whistleblower to know right off the bat that pretending that boys who think they are girls ought to be given heavy doses of estrogen and then prepped to have their penises and testicles removed from them and given breast implantation surgeries, that this was going to be the way to cure gender dysphoria or help those kids? And that teaching in widespread fashion across every school in the United States, the idea that boys can become girls and girls can become boys, was going to be the solution here. That is such cultic nonsense, rooted in a Gnostic belief that there's a complete soul-body duality, that you're a boy living in a girl's body, as though there is the you and then there is the body, and these are two completely separate things, right, in sort of a Cartesian fashion. Now, all of this is cultic garbage, but it became science, and then it was actually enacted on the bodies of children, on the bodies of minors, and now it is celebrated. And if you refuse to go along with this, then you are destroyed career-wise. People yell at you. Every college student must be forced to pay fealty to this cult, which is why when you enter a college orientation, the first thing they do is they now ask you your pronouns. You have to demonstrate that you have skin in the game for this cult. The consequences over the next few years are going to become very, very clear. We've already seen skyrocketing rates of mental illness. We have extraordinarily socially contagious rates of trans and queer identification. That has nothing to do with biology. That has everything to do with social contagion, and everyone knows it. But if you say that publicly, people get very, very angry at you, and the cult demands that you then be punished for your great sins. This is why I don't think Joe Biden's going to be able to escape all this stuff. And Joe Biden is going to want to talk about the John Edwards to America stuff in 2024. I don't think he's going to be able to. I think he's going to be on a debate stage, and somebody's going to ask him, do you believe that boys can become girls? And he's going to have to answer yes. Somebody's going to ask him, how many genders are there? And he's going to have to answer infinite, because otherwise his own base will go after him. And then he'll say that it's unsympathetic or cruel to children to not allow them to mutilate their bodies, or for society not to go along with their delusions and instead to either watchfully wait or to try to inform them more properly, which is what any normal society would do, that in fact your mental condition, the solution to that is not to chop body parts off or mutilate your body. But Joe Biden will be forced to answer those sorts of questions. Right now, the bill is already coming due According to the UK Daily Mail, a St. Louis transgender treatment clinic is now under investigation for allegedly harming up to 600 children after a whistleblower claimed parents were bullied into allowing kids to take irreversible hormone drugs and undergo gender transitioning surgeries. Jamie Reed, that's the person we discussed yesterday, that former employee at the Washington University Transgender Center at the St. Louis Children's Hospital, told the Free Press the clinic administered a litany of irreparable treatments to minors, oftentimes without parental consent. Reed claims doctors would ask questions like, do you want a dead daughter or an alive son, in order to bully children's parents into going ahead with gender transitions, which, again, is a cultic behavior. And if you want to indoctrinate people in the cult, you say, would you like your kid to be happy in the cult, or would you like your kid to be suicidal? Now, in reality, suicide rates among teenagers are skyrocketing. They have been for a while, and they're going to get worse. So you would assume that with, quote-unquote, more trans acceptance, that would go down. That is not actually what is happening. Instead, the reverse is happening, again, because we are actively indoctrinating our children into a cult of gender dysmorphia and gender dysphoria. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. The military shoots down an unknown object flying at 40,000 feet off the coast of Alaska. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Less than a week after a suspected China spy balloon floated across the U.S. and was shot down, the Pentagon took action against another high-altitude object.
The object was flying at an altitude of 40,000 feet and posed a reasonable threat to the safety of civilian flight.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the president ordered the Pentagon to take down the object, which was described as the size of a small car. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The White House says President Biden will travel to Poland later this month. Ed Donahue reports.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the president will meet with Poland's president about bilateral cooperation,
as well as our collective efforts to support Ukraine and bolster NATO's deterrence.
The president is trying to rally allies as the one-year anniversary of the Ukraine war approaches. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the visit is meant to give Ukraine a boost, too.
We know the next weeks and months are going to be difficult and critical, especially for their armed forces, and the United States is going to continue to stand by them.
Russia is believed to be planning a renewed offensive in conjunction with the anniversary. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Rescue workers are making a final push to find any remaining survivors of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria that killed over 23,000 people. The quake rendered many communities unrecognizable. With spring break right around the corner, the State Department is urging U.S. citizens to avoid travel to parts of Mexico. It's over fears of kidnappings and other crime. Six Mexican states are the focus of strong warnings from the Bureau of Consular Affairs, which cited shootings between gangs and that injured or killed bystanders and kidnappings in which tourists and lawful permanent residents are targeted. More details on these stories at townhall.com.
Factor pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month.
SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Moldova's government has collapsed.
Gavrilita has told a news conference, "The time has come for me to announce my resignation," saying no one expected her government, elected in the summer of 2021, would have to manage so many crises caused by Russian aggression in Ukraine. The premiership has been marked by a long string of problems, including an acute energy crisis, skyrocketing inflation, and several troublesome incidents linked to the war. A new government will be nominated by President Maia Sandu to be approved by Moldova's 101-seat parliament. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Moldova, a former Soviet republic of about 2.6 million people, is known for its alliance with the West. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman released from a Washington, D.C. hospital following an episode in which the Democrat lawmaker said he felt lightheaded. Fetterman had a stroke last year, and its lingering effects were the focus of last year's election. News and analysis at townhall.com. It's a major historical move involving legendary radio broadcasts of the Boston Pops Orchestra.
An effort to digitize more than 200 Boston Pops radio broadcasts conducted by John Williams from 1979 through 1991, now nearly complete. The project is to preserve 233 live radio broadcasts recorded on quarter-inch reel-to-reel tapes that are now very fragile and in danger of chemical deterioration. The recordings chronicle Williams' work with guest performers from a broad spectrum of the entertainment industry, and some feature the first concert arrangements of many of Williams' film scores. Jason Walker reporting.
A pandemic increase in food stamps is set to end March 1st in 32 states. The cuts in SNAP are due to the end of the emergency allotments that increased at the start of the pandemic. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Years ago, I wrote and was great consternation over it, but we reauthorized it again. The Violence Against Women Act, the Electoral Reform Act. But folks, we did that in a bipartisan way. Democrats and Republicans did it. I don't know why they don't acknowledge that any part of what's making the country great again.
Ah, yes. Is that called the Tara Reid Act, the Violence Against Women Act, or is that the Violence Against My Employees on Capitol Hill? Sexual Violence Against My Own Employees on Capitol Hill Act. The Tara Reid Assaulted by Joe Biden Act. Well, happy Friday and welcome. What is there, some sort of a football game this week? Can't say out loud what it's called. Is that the thing? I'm going to call it the Free Speech Bowl. The Free Speech Bowl. Womp, womp, womp. Well, yesterday, the Republicans in the House of Representatives did everything they could to save Washington, D.C. from itself, because the radical left-wing Democrat Mayor Muriel Bow-Wow-Wowser and the city council, they passed these crazy laws that are pro-criminal laws and to make everything better for criminals in Washington, D.C. And the House of Representatives, because they're Republicans in charge, yesterday they voted to repeal, because the Congress has some oversight over Washington, D.C., because it's always been run by recklessly irresponsible people, sometimes crack-smoking criminals. Right now, mostly dim-witted, irresponsible, arrogant, left-wing lunatics that love crime and criminals. You know, Democrats, I think that's the dictionary definition of a Democrat. That's definition number one. There are several more. That's whether it be in the Chris Plant dictionary. If I had my own dictionary and I got to because I think I need to write a dictionary. There are a couple of different dictionaries I need to write. But it is it's an interesting moment because the Democrats, of course, in charge of the House of Representatives never would have done anything of the kind. And the Democrats, I think they're still going to kill it, right? The House vote comes several weeks after the D.C. City Council approved a controversial massive overhaul of the criminal code in a 12-to-1 vote, overriding Mayor Muriel Bowser's veto. She's vetoed knowing that she'd be overridden because crazy people are on the city council. You know, like that virulent anti-Semite who thinks the Jews make it snow in Washington, D.C. and control the weather because of the Rothschilds. You know, that guy. He was just reelected recently. Just by the way, it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because if some virulent anti-Semite that put out crazy conspiracy theories had made a video of himself expressing that, and if he were in Wyoming, it would be big national news. But when you're a Democrat and you're in Washington, D.C., it's not news at all because, you know, maybe they're all anti-Semites. They all hate Israel, right? Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, but they call it an update. You know, it's like reform. The word reform doesn't really mean anything. Of the criminal code, it means whatever you want it to mean. And the updates to the criminal code created a little bit of a hubbub in Washington, D.C., but not really. Reduced penalties for carjacking, armed robbery, and burglary. This is their plan to fight crime. The changes would reduce penalties for carjacking. Remember those two teenage girls murdered that Pakistani immigrant trying to steal his car, and then they crashed him, dragged him, and crashed him into a lamppost, and there's video of all of it, and then we found out they were teenage girls and really just typical Democrat children, I think, because, you know, the problem is not our guns, it's your sons, and it turns out your daughters as well, more and more frequently. Reduce penalties for carjacking, reduce penalties for armed robbery, reduce penalties for burglary, expand the right to a jury trial for misdemeanor crimes, which means you tie up the courts and they end up dropping more cases, so there are fewer convictions and all that stuff. It's completely crazy. Just a few of the things they did so that Congress intervened there. Speaking of D.C., there was a Democrat woman member of Congress from Minnesota that was assaulted in her apartment building yesterday in a trendy part of town, the H Street Corridor Northeast. Very trendy. There are restaurants and things and muggings and carjackings and car thefts and all kinds of burglaries and things because the Democrats like more crime and they like more crime in more parts of the city, too. They're expanding the area, the high crime areas in Washington, D.C., so that people will flee the city, you know, the tax base, and then they'll call everybody racist because that's what the Democrats do. That's who the Democrats are. But this Democrat Congresswoman, Angie Craig, she became the first Minnesota congressperson who is LGBTQ to be mugged in her own elevator in her own apartment building in Washington, D.C., that we know of. What'd you say?
Openly.
Yeah, oh, sorry, openly, that's right. The first openly Representative Angie Craig assaulted in apartment building elevator, her office says. I was noticing this yesterday. That's a CNBC story. And if you go to the story, it's they immediately say Democrat congresswoman assaulted in apartment building elevator. Democrat, and then I saw a number of headlines saying Democrat congresswoman assaulted. She was assaulted by a Democrat, too. Have you seen a picture of the guy? You saw, like, if the Chinese balloon saw a picture, if they took a picture of this guy in China, they'd say, oh, that guy's up to no good. That guy's a criminal. Just, I mean, honestly, from a Chinese balloon, you could tell that he was a bad guy. And this is such a psycho story. So I don't know anything about Congresswoman Angie Craig, but she is, according to every single report, the first openly LGBT member of Congress from Minnesota that we know of. And we mean openly that we know of. Never mind all that stuff. So the creep got on the elevator with her, according to multiple news reports, and started doing push-ups on the floor. Got down on the floor. Not that he's a psychopath or anything like that. And you know, not that he's got a long criminal history. It's not a thing. But the media, they're all over it. Democrat congresswoman assaulted. And then you know what I did? I went and I compared and contrasted the NBC News reporting on two Republican elected officials in New Jersey having been shot and killed in the last week, murdered by two different people. And suffice to say, they never identified them as Republicans in the headlines. Not in the headlines. And then when you get into the body of the story, they say, well, you know, grudgingly, but yeah, the murdered elected official is an African immigrant woman, mother, and and a Republican. But two people murdered. So Representative Angie Craig, Minnesota, reported she was assaulted in the elevator of her apartment building, Washington, D.C. And then who is it revealed her? MSDNC. It was MSDNC because this is the way they work. A congresswoman asked for privacy after she was assaulted in apartment elevator. MSNBC aired police report with unredacted address. Here's looking up your old address. And they so MSDNC put up the police report, and here's her address. And it is, I know what her address is, but I'm not like them. And I know where it is. And actually, I was watching I didn't see this report. I read about this report afterward, but I saw a video and I saw a business, and it was like, here's her building. And I saw a business there, and I said, oh, I think I know that business. And I looked it up, and oh, yeah, I know that building. So I know that building, but I'm not going to go around doing that. Instead, I'll give you AOC's address. Just kidding. She lives in a building where they don't accept any low-income people, which most buildings are being forced to do at gunpoint in Washington, D.C. by the radical left, which is why upscale neighborhoods are now becoming crime-ridden, because the Democrat Party in Washington is making sure that all good neighborhoods are crime-ridden. And then, you know, then the tax base will flee the city, and they'll accuse you of being racist because you're fleeing the city. You know, it's because of crime. I told you about the Fox 5 Washington, D.C. TV. They did a poll. They took a poll. Has your behavior changed? Have you changed your behavior because of increases in crime? And I think it was 76% last time I looked said, yes, I've changed my behavior because of increases in crime. And the Democrats shrug, and then they call you a racist. And then they go smoke crack and, you know, get hookers. And that's, you know, it's a Democrat thing you wouldn't understand. So, yeah, Representative Angie Craig was assaulted in her apartment Thursday morning and understandably asked for privacy, but MSDNC's report on the crime seemed to inadvertently dox the congresswoman by airing an image of the unredacted police report revealing her home address. Thanks so much. Craig's chief of staff, Nick Coe, he is the first press spokesman for the first openly LGBT Minnesota congresswoman to be attacked in her elevator in Washington, D.C. That's another first. You got to mark that up, right? Because that's all the first. Craig's chief of staff, who is a first all by himself, posted a statement on the congresswoman's Twitter account Thursday afternoon stating that she had been assaulted that morning around 7:15 a.m. I'm guessing the criminal didn't get up early, but he was up all night. What do you think? Just looking at the picture of him, thinking he's not like an early to bed, early to rise type. Probably more of a crack up all night, crack of dawn. You know, it's a kind of thing. In the elevator of her apartment, Craig defended herself from the attacker, suffered bruising. The guy punched her in the chin, then choked her. And she said she defended herself with a cup of hot coffee. This is a very advanced kung fu technique that some of you may be familiar with. The old cup of coffee defense. Kwai Cheng Kane instructed as to the use of the coffee cup technique and self-defense. Very, very advanced. Now, this is a terrible thing, of course, and it's going on all over Washington, D.C. every day, as it is in so many cities across America. And the reason is the same in pretty much every instance, and that is Democrats raise their children to be criminals. And then Democrats seize power, gain power, elected to powerful positions, and then they, change the law in favor of criminals and very much to the detriment of decent, God-fearing, law-abiding people who work hard and pay their taxes and just want to go through life without being murdered you know. But the Democrats, they're like, what do you mean you want to go through life without being murdered? Other people are being murdered. Why shouldn't you be murdered? You know, why shouldn't you be mugged? Why shouldn't you be assaulted in the elevator of your... the U.S. Capitol Police, sure, now they're on the job, confirmed that they did not believe the attack was politically motivated, describing the attacker as a homeless man who found his way into the elevator with Congresswoman Craig, punched her in the chin, and grabbed her around the neck until she was able to fend him off by throwing hot coffee on him. This is All Right Hamilton, right? This is like an All Right Hamilton moment, right? The end of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right? And Hamilton, Judge Reinhold, throws a pot of coffee on the bad guy. Who's the bad guy? It's a real actor, too. The throwing a hot cup of coffee on him, then took off, got out of the elevator and ran. The other story that I read explains that when he got onto the elevator, just to establish his bona fides as a complete psychopath, he dropped to the floor and started doing push-ups because, you know, he's on the loose. That's the thing about man, oh man, oh man. Yeah, doing push-ups. That's a clue. That's another clue right there. Wow. All right, we've got a lot to get to. Of course we do. We've got much beyond that. The Arizona rancher that shot an illegal alien on his property in jail with $1 million bond. People are raising money to try to bail him out because of the $1 million bond. And GoFundMe has told them to go fund themselves because GoFundMe will not allow people to raise money for him. But they did raise money for rioters and looters and arsonists and people attacking the police. You know, Black Lives Matter, and there are many riots across the country. I think I smell a leftist. I got a little bit of an update on the Seymour Hersh story about Joe Biden blowing up the Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2 pipelines because, you know, the Democrats, they love firebombing stuff, and he's a Democrat, so he's just doing it on a larger scale, an international scale. Update on the homicides of two Republican elected officials in New Jersey, one by a suicide attacker. We've got a Katie Porter. You know Katie Porter. She's the one that teaches her children that the earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon, so that our children will willingly join the suicide death cult. That is the Democrat Party. Oh, and we got Ted Cruz yesterday during some confirmation hearings for radical leftists that the Biden administration has nominated to federal judgeships. And the smartest man in the Senate, Senator Ted Cruz, took them on very directly. And it was just great. It reminded me of the U.S. Senate. Remember the U.S. Senate? I miss the U.S. Senate. Got Ted Cruz coming up as well. January 6th. And, we got a lot of Joe Biden stories because he is something. And, of course, the big football game.
All right, Hamilton.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Eden Pure is having their famous BOGO deal on Thunderstorm air purifiers. One listener wrote, it makes a huge difference with our cat litter box. I just wish I had waited for the BOGO deal. I need another one. Well, now is that time. BOGO is back, so when you buy one Thunderstorm, you get one free. No matter how many you buy, you get an equal number free. Buy two, get two free. Buy five, get five free. The Thunderstorm will completely eliminate any odor, even the worst kinds of odors. Pets, cigarette smoke, urine, your mother-in-law's cooking. Now is the time to order. Eden Pure's Buy One, Get One Free sale is this week only. With more than 265,000 Thunderstorms sold and countless five-star reviews, you know it works like a champ. People are buying several for around the home and as gifts. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use the discount code Chris. That's EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Chris, and shipping is free.
They say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed, and a chance to double your tax refund.
thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
Research shows listeners prefer a personalized experience. So to help you remember, Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance. We personalize this ad for Amber, who really misses boy bands from the 90s.
Hey, girl. I'm the cute one. Here to tell you how Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
I'm the heartthrob. The only thing I love more than you is saving.
And I'm the other boy in the band everyone forgot about.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Chris, this needs to go to Parkville by 3.
Joy to the holiday packages that keep coming at Jimenez Couriers.
Coming your way, but the drop-off location is changing.
She needs delivery drivers with the gift of punctuality.
Anyone looking to pick up some overtime? Anyone?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary, and we can get overwhelmed by anxiety. Mindfulness can help you get through these tough times. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer free content to help you stress less. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
And of course, we have the Chinese spy balloon and the inept, flat-footed, kind of helpful to the Chinese communist response or non-response by the Biden administration, you know, the Democrats. But Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, they do have deep ties to Chinese business interests. We've seen the emails that our corrupt censorship Democrat Party hack media has buried and in a shallow grave near Las Vegas. And it's an amazing thing to see what's happened to our country, what has happened to our country. But the balloon, you know, apparently they've picked up pieces, but it's mostly just of the 200-foot high. It was 200 feet high, 20-story building, just of the white balloon itself. But all the heavy stuff sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean because that's where these idiots decided to drop it. Why? Well, I don't know. That's what the Chinese would do. Maybe Thoroughly Modern Millie called General Lee. And General Lee said, hey, if you drop it in the ocean, it'll be eaten up by the salt water in no time, and you'll get nothing out of it. And maybe Thoroughly Modern Millie said, okay, thank you very much, General Lee. So let's go to, but I was thinking about this balloon and how I would design it. Let's go to Philip calling from beautiful Lansdowne, Virginia. Philip, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, this morning I was watching Melissa Dalton, the Assistant Secretary of Defense, testify that the reason they didn't shoot it down in Alaska or the Aleutian Islands was because the water was deep and cold. So they waited for the balloon to get over South Carolina because the waters are warm and shallow. How did they know the balloon was headed there? It's a complete and utter lie. They had no idea which direction the balloon was going. If they had shot it down over Alaska or Montana or on the West Coast, they could have recovered it on land and we wouldn't have divers in the water. It would have been very easy to find on land.
Right. Yeah. So what does that lead you to believe?
That why is Melissa Dalton, Assistant Director of Homeland Security, lying to Congress? Because they had no idea that the balloon was gonna land in South Carolina.
That's right. Well, the Chinese completed their mission. That's the important thing. And also the Assistant Secretary of Defense, the ASD, saying the water is deep. The water is cold and deep, too. Reminds me of an old joke that used to tell. It's a little boy joke. I probably won't tell it here.
This Plant Show.
What's being hidden from us about the COVID-19 scenario, about covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world, about the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse. If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have 2 well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest Sundays here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
I'm sorry, Michael, you know, with global warming and climate change and everything, it's more important ever that we be careful in the sun, because the sun is warm and makes us feel good and gives us vitamin D, and so Democrats hate it, you know. I'm not saying you should dip yourself in baby oil. Is that what people used to do, baby oil, and, you know, lay on a lawn chair for 14 hours or anything, but... you know, sunscreen, and we're all supposed to use sunscreen because sunscreen is the thing. What with skin cancer and everything, right? Well, there's a new product out, and it's controversial because everything is, right? And the new product is sunscreen called Black Girl Sunscreen. Black Girl Sunscreen. We should send a case of it to Rachel Dolezal, shouldn't we? she needs a little more. 10. I see a SPF 30, you know, the sun protective factor, 30. And you can get it at Walgreens. You know, high quality product at a reasonable price, like Bob's Big Boy. And it's, Black Girl Sunscreen is causing controversy because, well, I don't know why exactly. Do black people get skin cancer from the sun? It's not my area of expertise. I will admit, but it's on the news. It's on the news today because the local channel, the local Fox 5 channel this morning had a segment on it about the controversy because it's Black History Month and you got Black Girl Sunscreen. And Michael said, if I use that, I could become a transgender person of color. See, because it's Black Girl Sunscreen, not Black Guy Sunscreen. That product may be coming soon. It's hard to say. But the Fox Channel 5, they had a segment on it because it's Black History Month, and they got the Black Girl sunscreen, and some people don't like that. The Channel 5 said, Black Girl Sunscreen normalizing use of sunscreen in black communities. Are they sun-drenched black communities? Are they normalizing the use of sunscreen in black communities. Should that not be done now? Is that the... that you don't have to wear sunscreen? That would be very convenient. That would be a step saver, wouldn't it? Don't have to wear sunscreen. That's, yeah. But because, you know, liberals, everything is controversial. And if sunscreen works on Whitey, wouldn't sunscreen work on everyone? I think it's got a harder job with us, doesn't it? I was funny. I walked in this morning, and one of my colleagues said, who I haven't seen in a little while, actually, and she said, "Oh, you've got a nice tan. Where'd you get that?" And I said, "Antarctica," because that's actually where we got color. We were in Buenos Aires, too. But mostly it was the sun bouncing off all the penguins and everything in Antarctica. They have very white feathers, and the snow and the ice and the sun bounces all over the place. So we actually did get color on our faces in Antarctica, because not global warming. It's summertime down there. The sun was up for about 20, 21 hours a day, and it wasn't cloudy. Well, most of the time it wasn't cloudy. That's a fact. But we did get sun down there. Actually put on sunscreen once or twice, I think. Just on my face, you know, like that. But I didn't have black girl sunscreen. Too controversial. Black girl sunscreen. It's normalizing the use of sunscreen in the black community, which is a community. So, we got that. We got that going on. I'm telling you. All right, now, the Ted Cruz stuff that I want to share with you is pretty amazing stuff about the confirmation hearing. And now we've got Rand Paul. Did you see Rand Paul yesterday talking to a State Department official? Do you have that at the ready? This was kind of a remarkable moment. Rand Paul is I'm a Rand Paul fan. I know not everybody likes Rand Paul, but I like him. He's smart. He's quirky. And he likes telling the truth. And he had a State Department official in the hot seat yesterday in the Senate. And he asked this woman, a longtime Democrat political operative, Wendy Sherman, who was an Obama administration official. It's a revolving door. Then they go make millions of dollars lying to people someplace else. Then they come back into the government, go to the State Department, and lie to people at the State Department or from the State Department. And Rand Paul asked Wendy Sherman about the United States government, and including the State Department, not just Anthony Fauci's agencies, but the State Department funding biological research in Wuhan, China, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and how about your gain-of-function research and going down into caves and scooping up stuff and then creating viruses, and then, you know, millions of people die, and then nobody asks any questions about it. We just whistle past the graveyard. Turn of phrase you don't hear much anymore. Just whistling past the graveyard. So here is Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky. You know, he's been attacked violently by Democrats repeatedly. He was on the baseball field the day that James Hodgkinson showed up and tried to murder the entire baseball team of Republican members of Congress. He was attacked in his front yard by a lunatic next door. The media said it was over a bundle of sticks. You know what a bundle of sticks is, don't you? And then 6 broken ribs, punctured lung. And news media laughed about it. They literally, CNN and MS literally laughed out loud about it because he's a Republican and the left is a murderous, bloodthirsty lot of cretins. Do you prefer cretin or cretin? I think it's either, huh?
Crouton.
Yeah, crouton. You like crouton?
I like
croutons too, let's go to Senator Rand Paul from yesterday with State Department official Wendy Sherman doing what the Congress is supposed to do, and that is hold the executive branch and occasionally the judiciary to account for their failures and their craziness. So here is career Democrat Party apparatchik contributing to the total destruction of Western civilization. That's the body of her work. And he's looking for the truth.
Mr. Sherman, it's estimated that between 5 and 18 million people died from COVID-19 worldwide. To a significant number of scientists, the evidence suggests that this originated from a lab leak in Wuhan. Does the State Department fund coronavirus research in China?
That's a good question.
Do we fund coronavirus? I don't believe so, but I don't know. I'll double check, and we'll get back to you on that, Senator.
The answer is yes, you do. Yes. And it's been going on for more than a decade.
I know.
It's done through a program called PREDICT and then the Global Virome. And why is this so important is We had 1 million Americans die, and we really haven't had any discussion of this. No hearings, nothing. People are unaware that they're even funding the research. We found out recently through the House unclassified report that money is going from the NIH to American universities to the Academy of Military Medical Sciences Research in China. We are subcontracting money and sending it over, but millions is coming from the State Department. So the idea is this. We will identify all the viruses in the world. We'll be safer because we identified them. But here's the question. Are we safer to have some guy or some woman crawling down a cave 10 hours away from Wuhan, coming up with bat guano, coming up with viruses, and bringing it to a city of 15 million like Wuhan? This is what's been going on for a decade. It's a setup for an accident. It's a setup for a mistake. And nobody's doing anything about it. We continue to fund it.
Isn't that amazing? And here we are all these years later, and nobody's doing anything about it. And the Democrats have been in charge of Congress, and Joe Biden's been president for 2 years, and he took over just as the dust was beginning to settle. And honestly, nobody in the U.S. government is lifting a finger. Anthony Fauci's out there giving speeches for $100,000, $100,000 speech fee for Anthony Fauci because he's cute. And he's got a twinkle in his eye and a little smile on TV. And never mind, a million dead Americans. They've attributed more than 1 million American deaths. Whether there actually have been 1 million American deaths directly as a result of the Wuhan Red Death. Have you seen our Wuhan Red Death t-shirts at the Chris Plant store? Because that's good stuff. And remember normal, and the left is coming for your rights. We've got the left is coming for your rights t-shirts. I don't think we have coffee mugs with the left is coming for your rights, but, and here we are, all this time later, and has the U.S. government held hearings on the origins and, what sort of responsibility? And has anybody, here's the amazing thing about Washington, D.C. There should be a sign on the highway when you're approaching Washington, an accountability-free zone. Just free of accountability in every imaginable way. Senator Rand Paul with State Department careerist, Democrat Party careerist Wendy Sherman.
The main group that's been getting this money is EcoHealth Alliance, over $100 million, a lot of it through the State Department. They continue to get money. They don't file their reports on time. They didn't stop their experiments. And yet we reward them with more money. 15 million people died, and we haven't done a thing about it. Nobody seems to care. We're not even sure we fund it. The State Department's a big funder of this project. It's a multi-decade-long project, but there are scientists, as we speak, from Stanford, from MIT, from prestigious universities around the country. These are not partisans. Most of them are not Republicans who stand up and say, oh, my God, what are we doing? Bringing these viruses from remote bat caves to major metropolitan areas and with no controls over this. So we've been asking for information from the State Department because we want to know more about this.
Not getting
it. U.S. Right to Know has been sending FOIA requests for 2.5 years, and they don't get anything. So, Mr. Chairman, I've sent 2 letters. Some of them are 6 months old now, and we get whatever. We're not going to give you any information.
Which is what I'd expect. You know, you got a 15 million dead. That's the Democrats shrug, and they, go cheat on their wives and steal your money. That's basically it. Then their son shoots somebody next to you and carjacks you, and then they blame you. 15 million people is the official number of the World Health Organization and all that. It does remind me of two things, of the voluntary human extinction movement, right? Isn't it the voluntary human extinction movement? That's what it's called. Because there are Democrats in the United States and lefties elsewhere in the world that have stood up an organization. You know how they love to stand up organizations. Voluntary human extinction movement. May we live long and die out is their slogan. It's kind of like Star Trek, but for a suicidal death cult like Jonestown. And which were socialists, the Jonestown massacre, mass suicide, was a socialist utopia that this radical leftist from Oakland was building in Guyana. And now they have literally, this is not a joke, they, as Joe Biden would say, and they call themselves the VHEMT, the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. They haven't explained the T. They put a T on the end. But these people are completely insane. And they honestly are, I think, becoming a Jonestown death cult. Senator Rand Paul and Wendy Sherman. And he's asking the right questions. Notice, however, that he's getting absolutely nothing in the way of answers from this careerist Democrat Party apparatchik.
People always talk about bipartisanship. Could we not get bipartisan support for records? This is not partisan. We want to know what the U.S. State Department is funding. NIH resists our requests on their funds. The two things that we know for certain that have led us to believe this came from the lab that are big came because one was leaked, and this was a DARPA request. So the Chinese researchers in China wanted from DARPA money to create a virus that, guess what, looks exactly like COVID-19. They asked for it in 2018. We turned them down. Fortunately, we did the right thing for once. We turned them down. That doesn't mean they didn't do the research. And so many scientists had an aha moment. They saw this and they said, oh, my goodness, they asked for money to create something that looks almost exactly what we got. So in nature, well, you do not have coronaviruses that infect people that have what is called a furin cleavage site. Chinese said, give us money. We're going to stick a furin cleavage site to allow it to infect humans more. We found out that not because you let us know or not because the NIH let us know. They still resist. This is top secret. This is classified. This is a whole problem of classification.
That's one of the many problems. And just ask the Biden family about problems with classification. I love how in Washington people throw around things like DARPA, like everybody knows what DARPA is. The Defense Department's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they you know, advanced research projects and of all kinds, hypersonic missiles to biological agents. And why we're paying the communist Chinese to come up with these things, and then, oops, you know, they're lax security at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, then 15 million people around the world. We have 15 million deaths attributed to the Wuhan Red Death. And in the United States, what are we doing about it? Nothing. By the way, many more people in the United States, a great many more people in the United States have died under the Biden administration, deaths attributed to COVID, than during the Trump administration. And you may remember Joe Biden saying, anyone responsible for so many COVID deaths should not be president. I think he's right about that. I think that's true. He should resign immediately. Do you know that he sleeps in an iron lung hanging upside down in the attic of the White House? You see, somebody made fun of his walk the other day, how he walks without his arms moving, and how that's an indication, and it is, of a neurological issue. He's suffering from many neurological issues. Can you imagine they want to run this guy for re-election in 2 years? I mean, he's already non compos mentis. You wouldn't let him drive your car. Notice he never, that Corvette never left the driveway last time we saw it moving with the classified document pile behind him. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, but Joe Biden, anybody responsible for so many deaths? Donald Trump wasn't responsible for them, but it looks like the United States was funding the commie Chinese spying on us. Where's Fang Fang in all this? You think Fang Fang was in the spy balloon with a pair of binoculars? You saw the meme going around with a happy Valentine's Day on the balloon, right? To Eric Swalwell from Fang Fang. That was funny because it's a spy thing. And he was sleeping with a Chinese spy for years, and then he got on the House Intelligence Committee. And the Democrats knew about all of it the whole time. I'm beginning to think they're not on our side.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up, from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 844-SHARE-65. That's 844-SHARE-65, 844-SHARE-65.
Do you have taxiety? That heavy feeling of doubt knowing taxes are due, yet you're miles away from being ready. Let Liberty Tax show you that a solution is closer than you think. With our remote file option, you start your taxes online, then have them completed by one of our experts, remotely. Visit LibertyTax.com or download the Liberty Tax mobile app to file your taxes remotely. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This Valentine's Day, fall in love with flavor when you save on delectable dishes and tantalizing tastes from Omaha Steaks with their Love at First Bite sale. It's the perfect time to celebrate your better half and bring the steakhouse experience home for Valentine's Day. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout and get $30 off your order. No one comes close to matching the flavor, tenderness, and value of Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, and increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local P.F. Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com, P.F. Chang's, and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Yeah, and of course, when Democrat Congresswoman, the first openly LGBT congressperson from Minnesota, was attacked in her building, you know, the news media got very excited. It's another opportunity dashed. They were hoping, of course, that there would be a MAGA hat-wearing guy, but instead, not. Very sad. There must be crestfallen again. They keep hoping. And when that happens, it will be news every hour for weeks. It's got to happen inevitably, just statistically. It's got to happen at some point, but it hasn't happened for years. They keep looking for it. When it does, if it does happen, news for weeks. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Phil calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Phil, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mr. Plant, I just want to know, in what world does it make sense to have the lady who runs safety and procedure at NIH be married to the guy who's pushing COVID research worldwide? He's married to her. Can you imagine what these discussions were like over the dinner table? Honey, did you get your what you wanted to get from the Communist Chinese? Oh, yes, honey. We should be killing people in a couple of years real quickly. Can you pass me the butter? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's a very incestuous city, Washington, D.C. Very incestuous. And I mean, that is one level of incest that you've identified that should be an area of concern. But there's another area that is probably more concerning, and that's the number of Democrat Party administration and Capitol Hill officials married to members of the news media, executives and, you know, bureau chiefs, executive producers, on-air people, people in editorial positions and in newsrooms in Washington and beyond, but mostly in Washington and New York, and they're all over the place. The number of people in Washington that call themselves journalists who were married to Obama administration officials and or just shacking up with or cheating on their spouses with Obama administration. And it continues into the Biden administration as well. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.